Mishnah says regarding Shar Shkatzim Ramasim, Achayvel Behem Patur, because Ein Lehem Or, so there's no place for the dam to get caught in between the bus and the Or. You can't make a black and blue mark. The dam either will be out of the Gamre or it'll recirculate. So there's not trying to make a Chabura of Nitzra Dam. And Hatzadon depends if it's the Tzorach is Chav Shlom, Tzorach is Potter. What do you mean the Tzorach is Chav Shlom, Tzorach is Potter? So Rashi and Taisus learn because it will be a Malacha Shein Tzvich HaLugufa. The Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon. Machlekes of Yudah Reb Shimon, what a Malacha Shein Tzvich HaLugufa is the Raisa of the Rabban. Then Rashi threw in an added comment. Shalol, the Tzorach is Potter because Zein Bamino Nitzad, and therefore it's a Malacha Shein Tzvich HaLugufa. The Taisus jumped on Rashi. What did he mix together? Two different concepts. That's a different story. There's a category of animals that are just not. The minhag olam is that we just don't trap those animals. So a beim of a chay shem bemina nitzoy, according to some tanaim, is not subject to tzedek. Whether it's tzvicha legufa or ain't tzvicha legufa. Tzvicha legufa is one. Malach Hashem Tzvichel Gufa is a machlag Zabir Reb Shimon. This is a different topic. This is a different machlag Zataran. In fact, we mentioned the Chazon Yechezkel pointed out that in the Tosefta, the Tana Reb Yud is the one who says the name of Mina Nitzah does not need to say it. But Reb Yud is the one who thinks that Ein Tzvichel Gufa is their right. And nonetheless, he says if it's Ein Mina Nitzah, it's not subject to say it. So it shows that they're unrelated topics, two different topics. Which animals are not subject to Tzedek? Ein Mina Nitzah is not subject. And the machlokes of Ein Tzvichel Gufa is the machlokes in all the malachas, not specifically by Tzedek. That's Taisus Hasog against Rashi. So I thought the Taisus Rid assumes like Rashi. Usually he quotes Rashi. Taisus, here he doesn't quote any Rashi. Taisus, he assumes like Rashi, and he gives you a new definition of malacha Shein Tzvichel Gufa. We learned so far, now we're going to have to relearn the whole Masechta. We're going to have to chazer everything all over again. We usually understood that the topic of Malacha Tzvicha Lugufa is judged subjectively. You, the one who's doing the Malacha, do you plan to use this thing or not? Let's say if I cooked food. So if I plan to eat the food or I'm going to feed the food to somebody else, then it's a Malacha Tzvicha Lugufa. And if I'm just practicing cooking, and I'm not going to use the chetz of the malacha. So then Taisus gave the definition that that's called Ein Tzvicha Legufa. You look into the Mishkan, on Tzadik Dalam and Alp, the gigantic Taisus, and he said, you look in the Mishkan, you have to look each and every malacha, what was the tachlis of that malacha, and are you doing the malacha today for the same tachlis that they did in the Mishkan or not? So the Taisus really disagrees with that definition. He says that it's Malacha, the topic of Malacha Tzvicha Legufa versus Ein Tzvicha Legufa is judged objectively. There's an objective standard. Hamotzi as Hameis, no one ever uses dead bodies. So Hoitzo an Hameis, as far as everybody's concerned, is called Ein Tzvicha Legufa. So if you have a Dovashem Bamino Nitzod, so that's that category of that form of Tzeda is called Ein Tzvicha Legufa. But if you catch a deer, if you trap a deer, deer are usually caught by people. They want to eat deer's meat. And they want to have the antlers hanging on the wall to show whatever. Sportsmanship. I don't know. So if you trap a deer and you personally are just doing it for fun, you're not going to use anything. You're not going to use the flesh. You're not going to give it to anybody else. You're just practicing tzedek and you're not going to use any part of the deer. So he says that doesn't make it into malacha shein tzvicha legufa. It's only if the type of chepze, which I did the malacha to, is like a mace that objectively no one ever gets any hanor from that. So he assumes like Rashi. He says hatzodon the tzarachayv shalol the tzarach pata doesn't mean if you personally are shalol the tzarach, then Reb Shimon holds that it's ein tzvicha legufa. Not true. He says Reb Shimon would be maskim that that's called the malacha tzvicha legufa. It would be chayv. But if it's ein b'mino nitzo, then it's called malacha shein tzvicha legufa. Then you begin with the machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. Okay, we have to chazer the whole Masechta again to start the pashtus is that the Taisus for sure doesn't learn like that.
Objectively, normal people, only those 10 people that are subject to Kofa,
Mm-hmm. Means the normal people don't.
Yeah.
See, yesterday, the other day, we raised the question whether the definition of Ein Bemino Nitzoy changes. Should we assume that it was Nikva in the days of Matan Torah? Should we assume it was Nikva in the days of the Gemara? And once it's Nikva, it stays the same? Or do we have the right to assume that it changes from generation to generation? That's a general question. Is there such a halacha? The Chazanish came up with such an einfall. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the first parak says they had Tanoim. Some Tanoim had a tradition, not all of them. Some Tanoim had a tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. And the breakdown of the 6,000 years of the history of the world is that Shnei Halachim Tohu, the first 2,000 years until Avraham Avinu is preaching monotheism, it's a world of Tohu. There's no Torah going around. There's no Amuna. And then Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, Lebrias Olam, and we have a tradition where he reached the age of 52, then it was the year 2000. So Gemiri, the Gemara said, we have a tradition, when he was Ben Nun Beis, he started to preach HaNefesh HaShirasa B'choran. He's preaching monotheism to others, so that's the beginning of the period of 2,000 years of Torah, that they're teaching Torah to others. And the 2,000 years of Torah go till the year 4,000, which according to our Cheshbonus, should correspond to the year 240, which is approximately the time that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died around the year 220. So it's the cutoff point sort of between the Tanoim and Amoraim, approximately, the Chazanish points out that corresponds to the year 4000. And after that, there's no longer part of the Shnei Halachim Torah, that Shnei Halachim Mimos HaMashiach. Mashiach can come many times. Rabbi Kiva was before. Rabbi Kiva was way before this, and he thought that Bar Kokhba stood a chance of being the Melech HaMashiach. And the other Tanoim disagreed with him, and they said, that's impossible. We have this tradition that Mashiach can't come until the last unit of the 2,000 years. And they told Rabbi Kiva, Yalu Asavim Bilchayecha, you're going to be dead and buried, and the grass is going to be growing on top of your body. Yalu Asavim Bilchayecha, grass is going to grow in your cheeks. Badain Ben David Lobo, Mashiach is not going to come. Not yet the time. So Rabbi Kiva apparently didn't have such a tradition. But the other Tanoim, many other Tanoim had such a tradition, that the breakdown of the, number one, there's going to be 6,000 years. The world is going to last 6,000 years. That's what the Rekech in his commentary on Chumash points out in the opening Pasuk of Bereishis, there are six Alephs. That the letter Aleph means Aleph, 1,000. So you see that there are 6,000 years. The famous Shirai. First Pasuk in Bereishis. Bereishis Barlakim has six Aleph. So you see, Shis Aleph and Shnin Avial. So then, okay, so the Chazanish quotes this Gemara, and then he understands based on this, what it means Shnei Aleph and Torah? I mean, after the 2,000 years of Torah are up, no one's learning Torah? No, what about the Chazanish, and what about the Marsha, and what about the Rishonim, what about the Amoraim? All the Amoraim lived after the year 240. And from Yudal Nasi died the year 220, so a lot of people learning Torah. So he said, no, what it means is Shnei Halachim Torah, that's when the halachas of the Torah were nikva. So any din that was established that was nikva during that period of the Shnei Halachim Torah can't be changed in later generation. He says it b'negiyah to Hilchas Treifus. And others are not so convinced that that's the halachas. You have to, let's say, Sovazman Kriyashma was established b'zman HaTanoim, that b'kumecho, when the normal people wake up. So normal people wake up before sunrise in order to get to work on time. Yetzi Adam Lafalo, Balabadosa Yadayorev. People go to work at Alois HaShachar and they come back home at Tesat Tuchom. Yeah, this is at a time they didn't have electricity, so people didn't want to waste money using candles. So they worked from sunrise to sunset. Is that the same as man as that? Probably not. So the Shaila is. So the whole din of the lachatchila dikas man of kriyashma is kivasikin. Why? Because miud bnei adam are waking up. Miud bnei adam are waking up before sunrise, after mashiach, before sunrise. So because miud bnei adam wake up that time, that establishes the more correct man for kriyashma. Because the pasuk says b'shach b'cha u'b'kumech on the singular. So the singular means that this din is established by miud bnei adam. Normally the dinim, the Ramban and Brochus explains. Normally, the dinim in the Torah are established by the minig of Rov Bnei Adam. You go by the Rov, whatever the minig olam is. And here, because it says it in the singular, b'shach b'chav kumecha, so it's nikva by the miut. So the miut Bnei Adam are waking up soon before sunrise. So that's why we have established Kriyash Maki Vasikin, that's the proper time. And then, since there is a Miud B'nei Yodam, namely B'nei Melochim, waking up very late in the day, the latest that a normal person ever wakes up in the daytime is B'nei Melochim, and they wake up at Sof Gimel Shoaz Bayom. Yeah, by us nothing corresponds, because we use electricity all day and all night. So by us, Laila Kayom Yoyer, we have the lights on at night, we have the lights on the daytime. So nothing corresponds by us. So that's the Shaila. Does it still make sense to say that there's an Inyan Kriyash Ma Kiva Sikim Isman is there, and you can still say Kriyash Ma only till Sovzman Kriyash Ma, when the B'nai Malachim wake up, where there are no B'nai Malachim today? There are people who sleep all day long. Who are the B'nai Malachim? Who are the people who are waking up at Sov Gimel Shoaz Bayom? Normal people wake up according to what time it is, because we change the clock. We have daylight savings time. We change the clock, we rig everything today. So that's the Shaila. The dinim still, the all the zmanim of Kriyash Ma remain the same or not? So the Mishkan is Yankif wants to defend the practice that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that there were people who used to daven Ma'ariv very early, way before Shkiyah. He wants to defend the practice by saying that the sleeping habits of people has changed today. And since in some seasons of the year they go to sleep early, so even in other seasons of the year, that's considered Zman Shchiva. That's the question. Can you change these dinim that were established Bizman HaGemara? Is there such a klal that whatever was Nikva Bizman HaGemara stays the same? Or Lamashal, Abishal B'chama, Abishal B'toldes Chama. So the Gemara says that if you cook in the sun, that's Mutam and Ater, it's even Mutam and the Rabban. If you cook B'toldes HaChama, if a frying pan was in the sun in the Sahara Desert and it got burning hot, then you take this frying pan into your, you have an Erev, let's say, the frying pan was outside, then you take it into the house, and then you crack an egg open, and you fry the egg on the frying pan, which itself is a toldus chama, it was heated up by the sun. So the Gemara says, ben ater, it's mutter, and bishul betoldus chama is a machleke satanam, we pass in that tzasim of the Rabban. Because of Marisayin, you can have two frying pans, one was heated on a fire, and one was heated in the sun. You have them both in the kitchen, you can't tell the difference which is which. They look exactly the same. They're both burning hot. They're going to say that Bishol on the one that was heated by the fire is Beraisa, that's Toldos HaEish. And Bishol on the frying pan that was heated in the sun is going to be Mutter, because that's Bishol Betoldos HaChama, doesn't count. So we pasken them in the Rabbanon, they asked Bishol Betoldos HaChama. But Menater, it's really Mutter. And if it's Bishol B'chama, it's still Mutter even in the Rabbanon. So you're going to say that Bishol B'chama today, let's say you have a Dut Shemesh. You're going to say, anyone who cooks in a Dut Shemesh, the worst it can be is an Issa D'Rabbanon. It's not going to be an Issa D'Raisa. Because it's told us HaChama. There are some Achrayim who hold, the Marshal is of the opinion, most Poskim I think don't accept that opinion, that when the told us HaChama is still in contact with the Chama, let's say have the frying pan in the Sahara Desert in the sun. Still in the sun. Not that I took it into the house. And you can't tell the difference in this frying pan and the other frying pan. The frying pan is still in the sun. And everybody can tell how it got burning hot. Got burning hot because it was sitting in the sun for an hour. So the Marshal is of the opinion that Bishul told the Sahama, when it told the Sahama, still in contact with the Chama, that's Mutter even with the Rabbanon. That's like Bishul Bechama, that's Mutter even with the Rabbanon. So it could be, according to the Marshal, one can argue that if you cook in a Dut Shemesh, it's Mutter even with the Rabbanon. Mutter even with the Rabbanon. Wow, Mutter even with the Rabbanon. So Moshe Feinstein, Rav Soloveitchik, said no. Today, if you cook in a Dut Shemesh, that's an Issa D'Oraisa. Why? Because Rashi says in Perikira on the Gemara that the reason why Bishul B'chama betol the Sachama is Mutam in HaTorah is because ain't Derech Bishul B'kach. But Bizman has said that it became Derech Bishul B'kach, so today it will be an Issa D'Oraisa. So this is really a big question. Is that really so? That in every generation, you judge the issue all over again. Whether something is kidarka or something is not kidarka. When you get to kalacha yad or malacha kalacha yad, so that depends on the way you're doing it. Are you a righty? Are you a lefty? If the minig will develop that people write with their feet instead of writing with their hands, so in the stomach, in that generation, will be writing with your hands will be kalacha yad. Writing with your feet will be siva kidarka. When you're judging whether something is kalacha yad or not, that depends on the minig. But here, you're not judging kalacha yad. A din in Hilchas Shabbos that it's Malechas Nachshavas Asatara and Kalacha Yad is only the Rabban. He's saying a different thing, that Bishul betold the Saham is ain't Derech Bishul B'kach, so we cover it's not called Bishul at all. Not only been a get to Shabbos. The Gemara says that Bishul B'cham is not Bishul for Basel B'cholav Deraisa, and it's not Bishul for Basel Mavushal Bamayim in Korban Pesach. This is separate law. If you eat a carbon pesach that was cooked in liquid, it's supposed to be broiled without any liquid. So if you cooked it in a liquid, any liquid is included, juices also. So then it'll be alois esrei. So what if you cooked it? What if you cooked your carbon pesach instead of cooking it with eish, you cooked it with chama? You cooked it b'chamit tveri, which is a tolda sachama. So then the Gemara says, "Hamavashal b'chamit tveri is not called bishul, called bishul b'tolda sachama. Bishul b'tolda sachama is a din in bishul l'kol ha'terakula." Rashi says on daft mem in Kira that the halacha is because ain't dach bishul b'kach, but it's not a unique din in Hilchos Shabbos based on kalachayat. Kalachayat changes in every generation. Al pi pasha, it depends what's acceptable, what's mekubal as the minigam dina. But when you get to this shayla that you kaveya, that this is not called bishul, that chachamim kaveya, such a form of bishul is not called bishul. So that's taka shayla. So Rav Moshe and his sefer, Rav Soloveitchik, thought independently that that changes also in every generation. And I don't know what the Chazon Ish would say. I remember Rav Nissen Alpert was surprised when he saw that Rav Moshe Feinstein said that the din changes, that bisman hazeh, that bishul deraisa. He was very surprised that the Rav Moshe should have said like that. So that's the shot that we raised, whether that din, the way we usually understand that Ein B'mina Nitzoid is a category of a Balchayim, the way Tosfos seems to say, Ein B'mina Nitzoid is a category of Balchayim, it's not subject to Tzeda, so does that depend on each generation? But he say no, once it's Nikva Bizmana Tanoim, or maybe once it's Nikva Bizman Matan Torah. So we mentioned some Rishonim hold that the chiyuv to put on tzitzis on a four-cornered garment only applies if you wear the garment atifa over your head. If you wear the way we do on our bekamtes, so that's not chayvin tzitzis at all. That's not chayvin tzitzis at all. Say bracha on your bekamtes, it'll be a bracha levat tov. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch, even though the other Rishonim don't agree with that, that's why in Shulchan Aruch they recommend whenever you put on a talis and you're saying a bracha, it's achshash bracha levat tov. So when you say the bracha, you should do atifa. Why? To satisfy that opinion of the Maracha or Zorua that you only chayv in tzitzis if it's a beggar that has atifa. Mehecha teisa, why does it depend on a beggar that has atifa? So he says because bisman matan Torah, when the Torah was given in Nifas Sinai, that was a normal style of beggar that they wore. Like the people in Africa, that's the way they go dressed. So that's a chiddush that the dinim, that's the same as the Chazon Ish, but even more extreme. The dinim were nikva bisman matan Torah. Whatever was the meaning bisman matan Torah establishes the dinim. And even in the minig is no longer like that. People wear normal clothes without atifa, not chayim and tzitzis, period. Not chayim and tzitzis. It all depends on zman matan Torah. And then the Chazon Ish says the same kind of a concept, but he says it could develop till the end of the Shnei Halachim Torah, and it can't change after that. Yeah. So the pashtus, I would assume, according to this Tosfos Rid, that Malacha Shein, he has a chiddush in the definition. Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is not determined each and every case individually based on your subjective interest, whether you're going to use this or not. He says, no, a mace is a category of a thing that's always Ein Tzricha Legufa. No normal person is motzias hamace in order to be mishtamish in the mace. So he says, so that's a machlegas Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. If you have a dobe shema mina nitza, that'll be a machlegas Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky said, it can't be. It's an often a Tosefta Reb Yehuda is the one who says that you potter. A name mina nitza you potter. So the, I don't know what. So the Tosefta read, maybe he didn't have a Tosefta, maybe a different gears than a Tosefta, I don't know. So he says, no. If it's a dobe shema mina nitza, then you have a machlegas Reb Yehuda Reb Shimon. But if it's a deer, or if it's a normal animal that's b'mina nitsa, you subjectively, you personally don't plan to use it, so he claims, b'kihai gavner, Rav Shimon will agree that that's called a malacha tzvicha l'gufa, and you will be chai. It's only if it's, by all people, it's considered a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. It's a new definition.
And even if the din were to change, even if we said that the Torah wasn't kovea, still, we would still have
yeah, according to the Tosfos Rid, I think for sure that depends on every generation. That is going to change. The way we assumed all along, Ein B'mina Nitza is a type of an animal that's not subject to Tzeda. So you can argue the point and say, if in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu it wasn't subject to Tzeda, on the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi till the year 4000, Shnei Halachim Torah was up. So then the dinim don't change. What's the nikva that don't change? But according to the Tosfos Rid, it's not really that you kovea dinim. He says, Eina mina nitza just means that it's we ignore what you personally have in mind. We say, Batla dai deitza das kama niyadam. And normal, as far as normal people are concerned, this thing is called a malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa. It's a new definition.
The Tzvicha wouldn't be able to, Hashem wouldn't be able to say, Pesach Resh Bo Nicha would be a malacha shen tzvicha l'gufa, because that is subjective.
Could be, right? So what's he going to do with all those Gemaras? Tosis interpreted all the Gemaras that the Yoruch brought. The Yoruch had up his four rayas from the Gemaras. That Psikresha l'anichalai is mutter. So Tosis said, no, Psikresha l'anichalai is an ein tzvich l'gufa. The Gemara didn't mean to say mutter, the Gemara meant to say potter. That's all. So according to the Tosis read, why is it necessarily going to be potter in each Gemara? So we have to check every single Gemara to see how does he say in all of Shas. Every case of Malacha Shein Tzvich L'Gufa, he's going to have to figure out how he's going to read it. I don't know. Then yesterday we ran through the Gemara, had three opinions regarding the Shmoneh Shvatzim Hamurim Batoira. You have two Masamei, Sameis is Mentami B'Makam Masu B'Ohal, and if it's a Meisakum, Machlekes HaTanoim, whether it's Mentami B'Ohal or not. Then you have Nivlas Behema Chaya, is metame b'mago or b'masa, but not b'yohal. Metame b'mago or b'masa, even if there's no maga. Metame b'masa, even if he's wearing gloves. If there's masa, it's metame, but not b'yohal. What if you have a niblas ha'oif? So we distinguish between an oif tomi and an oif tor. Niblas oif tomi has no tumor whatsoever. Niblas oif tor has a slight tumor, only if you eat it. Niblas oif tomi, metame abeis ablia. If you swallow the niblas oif tor, it's metameu at the time that you swallow it. And that's very unclear. That's Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay in his Sefer Asman Deraisa. He quotes different sources from the Rishonim and from the Sifra. Rab Chaim also has it with the same period of time. Rab Chaim, Rabbi Yosef Engel. What's the nature of the tumah of Nivla Seif Toha metame abeis abliya? Is it that the achil is metame? A new concept. Not maga, not masa, not ohel. Achil is metame. The achila is metami, is mitzdarf even took the achila's pras, should be metami. Or should I say, no, there's no such thing that achila is metami, maga is metami, or masa is metami. So usually maga doesn't apply to maga based astor. If it's inside my mouth, so it's usually not called maga. So here it's a xeris akosuv, that here by niblo seif tor, it's only metami abes ablia. If you have it in your mouth, it's not metami. The only time it's metame is when it's in the base of liya, when it's being swallowed, and the maga is only metame over there, despite the fact that it's a base astor. Or Taisus has a lashon in Sanhedrin in the first parak. We learned it last year. The Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes it that it's a tumas masa. All three alternatives are very strange. It's an unusual din. Niblos of tor is only metame a base of liya. It's not metame in any other normal fashion. Then the shvatzim from the category of shvatzim, you only have shmoneh shvatzim that are singled out by the Torah, and they are all metami b'mosam. While they're alive, they're not metami b'mosam, they're metami. So then the tanoim had a machlokes. What about, do you say oresem kibsorim? Oresem is lav kibsorim. What if you have, let's say, nivlas ha'odom? A meis ha'odom is metami. A kazai is basar min ha'odom is metami. So what if the Nazis took dead bodies and they separated the skin from the rest of the basar? What about Or HaAdam? So Or HaAdam, the Gemara discusses everything, what the Nazis did also. So in one, the end of Chulin says that Or HaAdam is only mitame midirabbanim. It's not mitame minatar, because the Or is cholok mipsar. The tumah is only on the basar. Just like in the category of macholos asuris, let's say if you have nevela, if you have behemah tmeya, if you have pork. So it's only also the Bisar Behemoth Meo, or Bisar Nevela. If you have Gidim, Matzomas, Kanaim, Utlofim, or Seor, toenails, whatever, these kind of things, that's not Basar. So that's not included in the Isser Behemoth Meo, pork or elephant's meat, and that's not included in the Isser Nevela Trefa either. Only Bisar, Basar Basar Trefa La Sechela, only Bisar Nevela, Bisar Trefa, and Bisar Behemoth Meo. All the other things are not included. So what's over here? What's the story with the Shmoneh Shvatzim? Or let's say that's by Odom. Odom, so the Or HaOdom is on a mitame mid Rabbonim. That's the Gemara in the end of Chulin. Because Or HaCholok Mipsara. What about by Nivlas Behema Vechayo? Also the same thing. Only the Bisar Hanavela is mitame, and the Or is not, the Or is Cholok Mipsara. The Or is not mitame. So here the Tanoim have a machloikis. What's the story regarding the Shemayin HaShuatzim HaAmurim Batar. So Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds that all Shemayin HaShuatzim are all Oram Choluk Mipsorim. Yesh Lehem Oris. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri Yorimer, all the Shemayin HaShuatzim Yesh Lehem Oris. What do you mean Yesh Lehem Oris? There's just like Adam in Nivlas Behema, that only the Bisar HaBehema is Matam. Only Bisar HaAdam is Matam. The Oris Choluk Mipsorim. So by the Shemayin HaShuatzim also, the Oris Choluk Mipsorim. The other Tanoim, the Chachamim, disagree. They learn that from a pasuk. Ela hatmeim lachem. The rabbis are the same kibsorim, and they have a gzeres hakasu that distinguishes between some of the Shemayin HaShuatzim and the others of the Shemayin HaShuatzim. And then you have the, and they hold that it's all based on gzeres hakasu. So the Gemara says, if you hold that it's based on gzeres hakasu, that does not carry over to Hilchos Shabbos, just because regarding tumah, they say that we split between some of the Shemayin HaShuatzim and the others. That's all based on psukim, ela hatmeim lachem, all based on a drashim from a pasuk. We have a klal that isim mituma lo yalfinam. That's a klal that the Gemara has in Perik Mitzvah Chalitza, at the end of Yevomis. The Gemara has a klal, if you have, usually when you have a pasuk in one place, so we apply that din to kol ater kula. You learn out midin echad lachaveiro. Through the midish ater and the drashis, then you learn out midin echad lachaveiro. For example, how do you know you have to hold the esrog with the pitim up, and how do you know you have to hold the lulav and the arovis and the hadasim with everything kederach kedilosam? There is no pasuk badalaminim. The original pasuk says by the mishkan atzi shitim omdim that you need kederach kedilosam, but we derive from there to kol atarakula. Those are the midish atan and drashas mem that you learn out midin echad lachaveru. Well, you have many halachas like that. We have it in Avelus, if one is observing Avelus, so the morning of the seventh day we say Mikzus Hayam Kekula. The morning of the 30th day we say Mikzus Hayam Kekula and Avelus is over. What is the source of that principle? So the source of Mikzus Hayam Kekula is a pasuk by Zohar. The Sofer Lo Shevus Yom Achad Titar, that on the morning of the seventh day she can make a bedikah and she can be tovel in the mikveh and call it quits. Did you say Mikzus Hayam Kekula? How can you learn that? What's the connection between one and the other? That's the answer, that you learn that the Midrash turn and Reshes Mem include an assumption that Kol HaTorah Kula Inyan Echad, all the laws of the Torah are interconnected, interrelated, and if you have a pasuk in one place, that pasuk applies to any other din that's similar. So the Gemara has a few limitations. So one of the restrictions is that Isa Mituma Lo Yafinu. That's this Gemara in the end of Mitzvah Chalitza. If the pasuk has a din in the area of Tumah V'Tara, so you can learn out from Tumah V'Tara to Tumah V'Tara. All the laws of Tumah V'Tara have to fit into one pattern. But the laws of Issa V'Hefta, that has a different system. That has its own mosaic. And you can't learn out Issa Mitumah Lo Yafinon, or Mamonah Mi'Yisurah Lo Yafinon. Mammon is another area. So you can't learn out Mammon from Issa. These are the three different areas. That's where the Talmid HaGra quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Most of the Sfarim from the Gra were written by the Talmid. Just the Bir HaGra and Shulchan Aruch was written by the Gra himself. So Bir Agwan Chumash, that's called that. There is Eliyahu. So they quoted the name of the Gru. So they commented on the pasuk that says, "Ki polamim chadovel amishpat beidam ledam beidin ledin beinegav leneged diber iris b'sherech lekamta be'alisa l'amokayim." So they quote from the Gru that "Kan kilo haTorah kol gimel chelke haTorah," that beidam ledam means dam tohar dam tome, that has to do with tumah v'tara. Beinega lanega is tumah v'tara. Bein dam ledam is isa v'hete, whether the woman is asura labaila or mataris labaila. He's working on the assumption, that's right, Yosef Engel points out on the Bi'ur HaGra. He's working on the assumption that isa nida labaila is not a function of the tumas nida. Whether the nida is tmei or not is one topic, whether she's asura labaila is an unrelated topic. Some Rishonim have cases that the woman is muteris lebaila and she's still an avatuma of an ida, and you can have the reverse also. She can be asur lebaila and she'll be not tmei at all. So it's not that the isa lebaila is a function of it, depends on whether she's an avatuma. So that's what the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying. Bein dam ledam is referring to isa veheta. Bein din ledin is mamayna, and bein nega lenega is tumah v'tara. These are the three categories of halacha: mamayna, isura, and in Tumah V'Tara. So that's why the Gemara has a klal, Isa Mitumah Lo Yafinam. So that's what the Gemara says over here. According to the Chachamim, the Rebbe Yochanan Ben Nuri, that they derive from a pasuk, Eila Tameim Lachen, that some of the Shemayin HaShuatz Ma'amur HaBator, some of them, the Or is Metami Kibbos, and some of them, the Or is not Metami Kibbos. So this is HaGzeris HaKosim in Tumah V'Tara, doesn't carry over to Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, we want to determine whether the chabura is a violation of netilas neshama, so they agree with Rabbi Yechaman Nuri that all the shmanu shvatim yesh lehem or, and on all of the shmanu shvatim there would be a din of choyro, there would be a melacha fel. But the Gemara says if you all like the Tana Reb Yudah, he has a different shita. He doesn't darshan the pasuk that it's a gzeres hakosav. He goes basa svara. He says he go basa gishasa, basa gishto. You feel the earth to see how thick it is. He says some of them are arasem kipson, some of them are not arasem kipson. So that's not a gzeres hakosav of tuma. So he can't apply over here. Isim mituma lo yafin. How did he figure out what the din is by tuma? By experimentation, not by gzeres hakosav. So the same way he established that these have an or and these don't have an or by tuma based on experimentation, so the same experimentation applies to Hilchos Shabbos. So that's why the Gemara says, according to the Tana Reb Yudah, it goes basa gishsa, basa gishasa, so that does carry over to Hilchos Shabbos. Avol Rabban and the Flig Alei, Rabbi Yechman Nuri, Linyan Tuma, they only argue by tuma based on Xeris HaKosav, and Isa Mituma Lo Yafinis, Linyan Shabbos, Mo Dulei. That's what the Gemara says.
How come the other than Tamantara and Avelos?
That's a very good kasha. How can you learn out Miktus Hayom Kekuloi from Zav to other areas? Why don't you say that Isa Mituma Lo Yafinu? How did the Tanoim understood that that's not a din in Tuma? That's a din in Kol Tarkula. How did they know that? If the Pasuk only appears in Tuma, how did they know that? That's a very good kasha. There's such a similar problem. We have a few cases where this is a problem. The Gemara established these klolim. Isa mituma lo yafina, isurim emamayna lo yafina. The Gemara has, for example, it says in the Chumash, tisiyena li yishtein oshim hu achas ahuvo, hu achas nilo, yoldo lo bonim hu ahuvo, hoi abin apcho las niyo. Hoi bimar chilo es bonim es hashiya lo, when the father is about to die, lo yuchu lo bakar es ben ahuvo, al penei ben asno, ki es apcho ben asno, yakir lo sis lo pishan. So the Gemara says, yakir, what do you mean, yakir, yakir ben alachir. The father has an amonis to say, and Didi Mammon is who is the Bchor. Let's say the father is dying at the age of 120 and his children are 100. They're close to 100. They're 95. And they all look pretty old. And it's hard to tell who's the Bchor. How do you know? They all look ancient. How do you know who's the oldest one from all of the children? So he says, this one is the oldest one. Truth of the matter, the other guy looks older. And the other guy says, no, I'm the oldest, because the father who's about to die is a multi-billionaire, and he wants to get a pishnaim. So he says, the father's telling a lie, I'm the oldest man. The guy says, what are you talking about? I was at your bris. I'm older than you. I was your kvata, whatever. He says, you're lying. So the Torah says, the father is neman. So the father is neman, that's in Didi Mamanis. Would the father also be neman to say, beneath them, I'm there? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. That's a machlokes hatan, the end of Kiddush. So that's a shaila. How can that's what the Nitziv and the other Mefarshim on the Gemara, the Nitziv and the Meroi Mesoda talks about it. The other Mefarshim talk about it as well. How come that's a machloike satanoim? Why don't they all agree that Isurim Mamoina lo yafina? The original pasuk is written in the context of Mamoina, but who's going to win the Pishnaim? So it says the father is Neman to establish who is the oldest, who is the Pchor. Because the Pchor ben Asnua Yakir, Yakir means Yakir en alacher. He's Neman, whatever he says goes. How did anybody have the right? How did any of the Tanaim have the right to learn out from that Tosik? Yakiven alacherim, that we pass from Allah like that. The Ov is Neman to say Benizem Mamzer. How can he be Neman to say which one is a Mamzer and so on? That's Yisura. Why don't you say Yisura Mamayin Alayafin? So that's exactly, so the Nitziv discussed, that's exactly the Machlokes HaTanaim. When the original Tosik says Yakiven Didi Mamanis, did the Chumash mean to say it's a local din in Hilchas Mamanis, then Isurim Mamana Leafinam. Or should we assume, no, that it's a universal thing? Yeah, but that's exactly in violation of this rule. Whenever you have a pasuk that appears in a parasha of Mamanis, you should say Isurim Mamana Leafinam. What right do you have to extend it? Same as your kasha. There are a few kashas floating around from various gemaras. You have to work hard to figure out, they work very hard on that gemara at the end of Kiddushin. What exactly is the machlokes, the Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan? Whether Yakir applies to Isa Veheta. But our Gemara fits into the rule. You have a few Gemaras that violate the rule. That's a problem. Yeah. Eilam made the Meraklovus, right. But the Shaila said, why? What is the nature of the exception to the rule? Okay, so we still got to work on it. We have to figure it out. I don't know.
Isn't that a little different there? Because if you knock me Neman that he's a mamzer, So it's a chesaron in your nemunas, meaning it's a mimela type din. You're saying that he's a poor, so anyone older must be that they're not your, must be that they're a mamzer. Meaning it's because the Torah gave you nemunas al tziakir for him to be the poor.
You mean if it's clear that this one is older than the other one? I say I'm one of the children is clearly younger than the other one. I say he's the poor. How can it be the poor, but the other one is much older? So what I'm implying is that the other one is not my child. He's a mamzer. That my wife was mezana with someone else, and the oldest child, who's clearly older, is a mamzer, and the younger one is my firstborn. But again, the pidyon haben, it depends who is the peterechem. But when again, the pishnaim, it depends who is my firstborn child. If a woman had five children by a first husband, then I marry her, this is my first child, so the child number six will not need pidyon haben, but it's going to get pishnaim because it's my first child. So that's what Tosis points out. Yeah. That if I say on the child who's obviously younger than the others, I say that he's my pchor, so b'meila I'm implying that the older children are mamzerim. So that's how you know from the pasuk that he's nemet to say that he's a mamzer. Yeah, but how do they know that that's the case, that the pasuk is talking about that it's obvious that he's older? Maybe you're talking all the children are over 90, so they all look ancient. How do you know that the father is nemet even in such a case? Okay. So that's, there are a couple of gemaras that are problematic. Okay, yeah, got to work. Those are the exceptions to the rule. Got to work out why. Why are there exceptions to the rule? But our gemara fits in with the rule, with the basic rule. Then the gemara on Amid Beis says the only difference between Yesh Lehemor and Mein Lehemor is whether Chabura, whether Chayvul Behem Chayv Anat, will it be Nitzra Hadam? Nitzra Hadam means that blood is dead, and Ki Adam Hu Anefesh and Malikat Lukul Matikol the Palug are fine. So that's a violation of Netilus Neshama. That's how we assume Lahaloch. That Chavola is a told of Netilus Neshama. But what if you do, so if it's an animal, a behemish, shrotzim, she'en lemor, so it's not trying to make Nitzra Adam. But if you kill the Balchai, Horgon, will be Chayv. Benegir to all shkotzim ramosim, Yechayv. Doesn't have to be Davka, a big animal like Oris Eilami Adomim, Oris Tchoshim. Doesn't have to be like a tachash or like an ayil. The Gemara says a dugma for a big animal is a gomel. Gomel is a very big animal. Even if it's a tiny worm, if you kill it, it's a chayv. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, but isn't there a machlekes hatanaim Rav Leza nachachomim? Rav Leza holds haharegis hakina b'shabes kahareg gomel b'shabes nachachomim disagree. So the Gemara says, not true. That machlekes by kina is not because it's not a big animal, like a gomel, or like a tachash, or like an ayil, or a selim yadomim. No, it's because kino is unique, because it's not part of a rov. Avoshash katzim ramasim, which are part of a rovim, loy pligi. Everybody would agree to that. So this is a famous problematic gemara. After Louis Pasteur proved that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so the Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Lamprenti, who lived in Italy, it's an encyclopedia of halacha, so he quotes the big machlekes that the Rabbanim had in the late 1700s. When was Louis Pasteur? In the 1700s, no? So in the late 1700s, he wrote this encyclopedia. So he said the Rabbanim had a big machlekes. What do you do with this din of Horikina B'Shabbos that we paskin that you're not chayiv because it's not part of a rov? Should we assume that Louis Pasteur is wrong and the Gemara is right? Or should we assume that the Gemara meant something else, not to be taken literally, that it's not part of a Rava? The Gemara didn't mean that it doesn't reproduce itself, but it's rather spontaneously generated. Maybe the Gemara meant it's a different kind of part of a Rava. It's not so conspicuous, not so noticeable that it's part of a Rava. I don't think he raised the possibility that we shouldn't follow the Gemara. That was the third possibility that was brought up later. Maybe we're not allowed to follow the Gemara. Maybe if you find out today that the Gemara's din is based on a fact that's just not true, then maybe you're not supposed to follow the din anymore. So that's what later Rabbanim raised that possibility. On the Pachad Yitzchak, he only has the two possibilities. Should we assume that Louis Pasteur is wrong and keep on going our merry way and assume that the kino is not part of a rov at all, it's spontaneously generated? Or should we accept what Louis Pasteur said? We should understand, we should reinterpret the Gemara. Ain't a part of a rov means has a different kind of reproduction. So Mendel Kasher also, who died about 15 years ago, he also has in his sefer, Divrei Menachem on Arachayim. So one section of the sefer is all about the Malecha Shabbos. He has some very nice essays. So he has also a big essay on this. I always thought he was a very modern man. So he comes to the conclusion that Louis Pasteur is wrong. He says, Shteit Nehele Gigemar, that there's no such thing as that ain't a part of a rabbi, so that's all. So Pastor is wrong and the Gemara is right. I thought he would come to the conclusion like Rabbi Tendler always used to give an annual lecture on this, that the Gemara didn't mean that. The Gemara meant a different kind of part of a rabbi. That's the other side of the Pachad Yitzchak. The Gemara meant to say it's a different kind of part of a rabbi. It's not to be taken literally that it's ain't a part of a rabbi. There is a Gemara in Chulin in Perikei L'Treifus, which is quoted in La'aloch and Yerideya, that if you have a fish that has worms in it, are you permitted to eat the worms or not? So the Gemara says it depends. Where did the worms come from? If the fish swallowed worms mi bachutz, so those worms are rasa. But if the fish didn't swallow the worms mi bachutz, the worms developed in the fish. So then the Gemara says those worms are muta. So where is there such a thing? So the scientists say there's no such thing as the fish always get the worms from outside. So they're always mibachut. How is it shaykh? They're not spontaneously generated. How is that possible? So about 10 years ago, maybe longer, there was a big fuss. The OU was giving a kashrus endorsement to some kind of fish from the Great Lakes, and it was full of worms. And the government approved it. Sometimes the government will declare that it's infested with too many worms, and they won't allow you to sell it. And they said over here it's very healthy. These fish are very good with the worms. That's what the Gemara says in Chulin also. That Abaye's stepmother, Abaye was an orphan. He didn't have a father, didn't have a mother. So Omer Liyem, he's always quoting things from the woman who raised him. His mother told him that these worms are very healthy. The worms in the fish are very healthy. So that's what the United States government also said, that the worms in the Great Lakes fish are very healthy. So how can they give an endorsement on fish that have full of worms? So they said that the worms developed in the fish, they didn't come mibachut. How is that physically possible? So the scientists explain what it's all about. The fish swallow invisible to the naked eye. The fish swallow invisible microscopic size eggs, mibachut. And the eggs develop inside the fish as worms. So if the eggs would have already hatched and developed as worms before the fish would swallow it, and then the fish would swallow it, that's what the Gemara says is awesome. But if the fish swallows eggs, and the eggs hatch inside the fish, so that's what the Gemara said is muta. So that's what the OU gave in endorsement. So some of the Rabbanim from Brooklyn, from the Hisachdus Rabbanim, hung up signs all over that you're not allowed to eat these Great Lakes fish, because the Halig Gemara says that the scientists say that these worms came mibachutz. And that's included. What's the difference whether the fish swallowed microscopic size worms or they swallowed worms that are visible to the naked eye? The Halig Gemara says whenever the worms come from without, the worms are rasa. The only time the Halig Gemara says that the worms are mutter is if they developed in the fish. Means spontaneously generated, and the scientists say that that's not what happened over here. I, the scientists, say that that never happens. That's apikursis. That's against the Gemara. It's not true. So that's the pagina nibura. That we can't accept from the scientists. We only accept what they say. They studied it, and they say that these worms and these fish came mibachutz. So that's exactly what the Gemara said, that it's awesome. So someone at that time, Rav Moshe Feinstein, had already passed away. I remember exactly when this was. Rav Moshe Feinstein passed away. So one of the Talmidim who learned, I think Rabbi Notte Greenblatt, if I'm not mistaken, had published this before this whole hullabaloo began. He had published that he once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein to write a tshuva about these kind of worms. And Rav Moshe said, what am I going to write a tshuva? It's enough for the din and the gemara that it's muta. He only writes a tshuva when there's something to discuss. When it's an open and shut case, nothing to discuss. He's not going to write a tshuva. He doesn't want to look like an idiot. He's going to write over. You have to like tefillin even on Tuesday morning. What's the chiddush? Of course you like tefillin on Tuesday morning. What's the chiddush? So Rav Nata pleaded with him, no, but the people are going to argue a point and say that since it came mibachutz, since the fish swallowed the microscopic eggs, so since it came mibachutz, maybe it's also. So he says, Rav Moshe said, that's ridiculous. There is no such thing as spontaneously generated worms. What the Gemara must have meant is exactly this case. So Rav Moshe refused to write a tshuva. And then later on, because he said, they'll laugh at me, like, I'm an idiot. I'm just writing over what it says in the Gemara. There's nothing to discuss. And later on, they published a whole sefer. Someone in Antwerp published a whole sefer that's called Anochi Talas Veloish, about these worms. That he said that these are exactly the worms that the Chazal acid. The only worms that are muta are those that are spontaneously generated. Shlomo Zalman did write such a piece while he was alive. He did write it, and he said that it's obvious that that's what the Gemara means. The Gemara is referring to those worms that, in the case where the fish swallowed the eggs when they were in an invisible state, when they were only microscopically detectable, and they weren't visible to the naked eye, and that's what the Gemara calls the case that the worms developed in the fish. The Gemara never meant to say it's spontaneously generated. The Rambam is the one who says that there's spontaneous generation. There's a Gemara in Makkos, and the Gemara in Psochem has it, that sometimes if you eat a certain kind of a non-kosher fish, you get many times malchus. Sometimes you eat a bug, you get four times malchus, five times malchus, six times malchus. So Rashi and Tosfos and the Ramban and all of the Goyim, all Armshat and the Gemara, based on the assumption that if you have a kefil halav, if you have a pasuk written and you have a lav written in the chumash a few times, it's mamash a repeat of the same prohibition. You have the same lav written a few times, you get malchus according to how many times the pasuk appears in the chumash, even though it's exactly the same thing. The chumash just writes the same thing five times, you get five times malchus. And the Rambam is the one who doesn't agree. Taisus asked the Kasha on the first daf in Chulin, they ask regarding the first Mishnah in Tmurah. It says that one who does Tmurah gets Malkus, and the expression used in the Mishnah is Seifeg Es Harboim. He gets once Malkus. Seifeg Es Harboim, Harboim Yaken, he gets Malkus. So the Taisus really belongs on the first daf in Tmurah. So for some reason or another, it's not printed there, it's printed on the first daf in Chulin. The Gemara Chulin quotes that Mishnah from the first opening Mishnah in Tmurah. The Tosfos on the first time of Chulin asked the Kasha, why doesn't he get twice Malkus? It says, Lo yachlifenu, velo yomeroso. So it's two lavin. So why doesn't he get twice Malkus? The Rav Elbel Soloveitchik pointed out that whole Tosfos Kasha is only Lashita Sam, Rashi, Tosfos, the Ramban, all the Goyim, they all assume that a kefil alav gets many times Malkus. But the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Mishnah Torah, he repeats again the same thing. He says if you have a kefil alav, it only counts once in the minyan mitzvah. It's the second lav, the third lav, fourth lav, just to repeat the same thing. So it's just for emphasis, for chizuk, and it doesn't count as several lavim, and you don't get many times malchus. So how do you read the Gemara? The Gemara says sometimes you get four times malchus, five times malchus, six times malchus. Rambam says no, it's a different thing. So he explains the Gemara means like this: if it's a sheretz ha'of that it flies around and it's a non-kosher bird, you get malchus. If it's a sheretz that swims in the water, doesn't have fins and scales, that sheretz ha'mayim, then you get malchus. If it's a sheretz ha'oreh, it walks on the ground and it doesn't correspond to some grasshoppers are kosher, some grasshoppers are not kosher. So those that are kosher, those that are not, so all the shkotzim are muslim. If it does not malager, mafis parso, so it's an animal that's also bachil. So you get once malchus. What if you have an animal that swims and it flies and it crawls? And it doesn't have malager mafis paris, and it doesn't have snapa vikaskesis, and it doesn't have ashalok rami malaraglov. It's not a kosher bird, and it's not a kosher fish, and it's not a kosher animal. So then the Rambam says you get three times malchus. That's what it means, three times malchus. So the Ravid makes fun of the Rambam in Hilchos Macholos Asuras. He calls him a collector because he collects all the gemaras. He says hamaasef hazeh, this collector osav dvarim she'enam. He collected things that don't exist. What do you mean? An animal that swims and it flies and it dances and it knows how to drive a bus? And what else does it do? It learns the smicha all at the same time. It does everything. So the Rambam makes fun of the Rambam, that there is no such thing. It doesn't make any sense. But that's how the Rambam's working on that mahalo. So part of the Gemara doesn't explain what the four, five, or six times malchus are. The Gemara just says, if you eat this animal, you get four times. Ochal putisa loika arba, nemola loika chomish, tzira loika shesh. So the Rambam claims that three out of the four malchus are that it's a sheretz ha'oif and a sheretz ha'mayim and a sheretz ha'oreh. So what's the fourth one? So he says another. He digs up things from the Sifra, and the Gemara doesn't say. He quotes things from the Sifra. So one of them is if you have a sheretz that's spontaneously generated, there's a new lav on that. Any sheretz that's spontaneous, it's ain't a part of a rava, there's a separate lav. So then the Rambam goes into a whole dissertation in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And those morons who think that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, they don't know the ABC of science, because everybody knows in science that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So the Rambam is the one who says like that. But and he quotes a Sifra. He quotes a Sifra who says like that. The Gemara Grana never says that. We can accept the Sifra and explain it the same way Rabbi Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explained the Gemara by the worms and the fish also. It doesn't mean spontaneous generation is nolad minha ipush. It means that they were microscopic eggs there. It wasn't visible to the naked eye, and it appeared to the layman as if it were ain't a part of a rab in a normal fashion. It wasn't visible to the naked eye. You can explain that. That's what it means in the Sifra. A lot of Gemaras that are problematic. A lot of Gemaras. It's a Mishnah, yeah. A lot of Gemaras that don't correspond to reality. One of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael put out a sefer also about 10 years ago, all about all the Gemaras that don't correspond to science. So he quotes what everybody said. Quotes all the suggestions. Anyway, this was a famous problematic Rambam. That the Rambam makes a big fuss of this. He says anyone who doesn't believe in spontaneous generation doesn't know the ABC of science. So after Louis Pasteur proved that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, so people felt bad. What are we going to do with the Rambam? So when the communists came, it took over Russia, so their shita was atheism. They don't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, you have to believe in spontaneous generation. If you believe in God, so where did life come from? I was born, I had two parents. Where did my parents come from? They had two parents. Where did they come from? Parents. Where did the first Adam Rishon come from? God created Adam Rishon. But if you don't believe in somebody being there, an outside power, so where did any life come from? The answer is you have to support the thesis of spontaneous generation. So they encouraged, this communist encouraged the government. Communist government encourages the scientists to disprove Louis Pasteur. For money, you can prove anything. So they proved that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. So many of the Rabbanim were very excited at that time. Oh, he finally saved the Rambam. The atheist finally saved the Rambam. So I remember when I took, when I was in college, I took Shmuel Soloveitchik for chemistry. He gave the chemistry course for the non-science major that year. I don't know, other years maybe not. He gave for those who didn't really know chemistry. The yeshivishi guys who were just interested in the history of chemistry. So he was talking about this. So he said that Anoch and they to the Rabbonim that they're happy that the atheists were commissioned by the communist government to disprove Louis Pasteur, that there is such a thing as spontaneous generation. We assume that Louis Pasteur is correct and the communist scientists were not right, and it's a problematic Rambam. We'll deal with the Rambam somehow. Either we'll reject the Rambam or we'll reinterpret this law. The Rambam quotes a Sifra. The Sifra says there's a separate law on a Sheretz that's spontaneously generated. So maybe we'll learn the same as Rav Shlomo Zalman said on the other case in the Gemara. Anyway, this is a famous problematic Gemara with the Kinim. The Gemara says that Kinim are not part of a Rambam. Then the Gemara quotes the Machlokes, Rav Lezer and Rabbi Shul regarding Tzeid on a Dovashem Amin Anitzoid. We had it already on the previous daf. Machlokes Hatanim, Dovashem Amin Anitzoid, is it subject to Tzeid or not? Then the Gemara continues on Amid Beis. This we already had on Amid Aleph at the end of Perek HaOrig, the end of the previous Perek. That Shmuel said there were three cases in the Mishnais where it says Potter, and it does mean Potter Avalos, it means Potter Amuta. So two of the cases were based on the assumption that the halachas like Reb Shimon, that malachas shein tzvicha legufo is only an issa derabbanon. So once you assume it's only an issa derabbanon like Reb Shimon, then there's room to negotiate to say the mamakam tzar legos berabbanon. But if you would have adopted the halacha like Reb Yude and hold that ain't tzvicha legufo is an issa deraisa, so how can you be mekel mamakam tzar? So it's very important to take a stand on the machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. So that's what the Baal HaMor over here has a discussion. He says, the Rif abridged the Masechta like he abridged all the Masechtas, and the Rif was a little unclear. He leaves out a lot of Mishnayos. And he says, some of them are not so bad. The world will exist without those Mishnayos. We'll be able to figure out based on the other things that are there. But he says he left out these. Whether he passed him from these or that. So this is important. He should have taken a stand. Okay. So the Baal HaMor and the Rambam are the two who paskin that ain't tzvicha l'gufa is their rice. All the other Rishonim hold that ain't tzvicha l'gufa is only the Rabban. The Rambam we had, the Rambam, despite the fact that he paskin ain't tzvicha l'gufa is their rice, still quotes the Hetta. Mafis Mursa, l'hotzi b'men alecha is potter amuter, and atzod nocha shaloi shechenu is also potter amuter. So that was the problem with the Rambam. That was the kasha. That was the Ba'ak kasha that Taisus quoted in the Av Gimel. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's totally zebizet. It's totally in the machalegs of Yudah Reb Shimon. There's only room to be makel if you hold halacha like Reb Shimon. If you hold like Reb Yudah, He cannot be Mekel. Okay, that we already learned. Then the Gemara, a little later on the daf, the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Shoyle Dagmen Ayam, that the din of Netilas Neshama, here we're talking, Rashi and Taisei, we're talking about a case, Shoyle Dagmen Ayam, the dog is already caught. It's not that I went fishing and I violated Seidon. Ein Sodim Dogim, Menabibim Biyantav, Kalachayim B'Shabbos, if you saw the dog on Shabbos, it's a Malach of Seidon. We're talking about a case that the dog is already Nitzad V'Yomid, Rashi and Taisei, already was trapped in Bod Yom. We're just talking about when is it? When does it constitute Netilas Neshama? When is it dead? So he says, Kimish Yovish Bakisel Lachayiv, and the Gemara says it has to be Bein Snapirot. When it reaches a certain point, so then it's considered dead. Brain dead? Yeah, brain. Okay. Fish doesn't have any brain. Fine. So each and what's the definition of death by behemoth? How would you define death by behemoth? Gemara doesn't bother to tell you. Huh? Mistama al pi pashtas. We assume, like Taisa said, ki adam hu anefesh, when the blood stops circulating in an irreversible fashion. As Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. We discussed it already about putting on tefillin on the left arm. What if the left arm is paralyzed? He said left arm is paralyzed. Still considered having chias, but if the left arm is gangrenous, means that there's no blood circulating at all. And if you cut the arm, it won't bleed. So if it's gangrenous, then he quotes a Gemara, Mechorah said that's considered death to the organ. Life of an organ means that the blood is circulating, and death to the organ means that the blood is no longer circulating. If you put a tourniquet and it's only temporarily not circulating, that doesn't count. He says the Gemara in Mechorah says if it's stopped circulating in an irreversible fashion. So if you just put a tourniquet, you can take it off and the blood will continue to circulate. But if you leave the tourniquet long enough, then it's going to be too late to reverse it later. So he says if the blood stops circulating in an irreversible fashion, that's death to that organ. So how would you define death to the whole organism? So Mesama means either if one vital organ is dead, or if all the vital organs are dead, or if Rai, Rubam, Kukula, Rai of the vital organs are dead. Okay, no need to repeat that. Fine. Why don't they use the same definition by the fish? Maybe it is the same definition. Maybe Yovish Bo Kisela, Bein Snapirov, corresponds to that. Maybe it is the same definition. Or perhaps it's not the same definition. Maybe the concept of Ki Adam Ho HaNefesh only applies to human beings and Behem HaChai V'Yoif. But maybe dogim, the din is adam dogim v'chagovim, is mutter, even with the rabbanon. You don't have to salt the fish to remove the blood. If you have chickens, if you have flesh, you have to salt it to remove the blood. Because the dam cholok mipsar. But in dogim, there is no din adam cholok mipsar. So maybe since al pi halacha, the tanoim knew that there's dam dogim, but the halacha doesn't recognize a dam as a separate entity. So maybe since the halacha doesn't recognize the circulatory system in the fish as being meaningful, so maybe that's why they had to come up with a different definition of death by fish as opposed to death by human beings, the behemoth chai v'yof. Or maybe it's the same. Maybe it isn't the same. Maybe this is exactly the same shear as the circulatory system collapsing in an irreversible fashion. Maybe it is the same. I don't know. Okay, that's important to know. What's the definition of death in Hilcha Shabbos? What's the definition of death when you get to Natilus Neshama by Behema Chai V'Yoif and Dogim, and what's the definition of death? Beneath it, or Sir itself? Fine. When the Gemara have Vaita, Oma Shmuel, Hoshid Yodel Lamei Behema Vidil Delu B'Shebe Meyeho Chayov. If you have a pregnant cow, and the veterinarian sticks his hand in, and he detaches the uber from the cow, so that's a Malacha Deraisa. What's the Malacha Deraisa? My timer, what did he do that's wrong? Here there's a machlekes harishonim. Does it mean that he killed the uber, or does it mean that he just detached the uber? The uber is dead now, or the uber is alive? So the Meiri quotes the machlekes harishonim. So it's a little unclear. My timer, what malacha did he violate? What's wrong? Amarava, so Rava says, I heard from a big Talmud Chacham, Bar Hamdure Azbroli, this fellow Hamdure explained it to me. More than many places quotes. Rava says other things from this Bar Hamdure. He explained to me the following. Don't you know the famous din of Rav Sheshes? Hi, Mom, the tallest Kshusa mehizmi vihigi. Mechaim shemer kedovim begidula. What is Kshusa? Rashi says, Kshusa is mushrooms. So Rashi quotes from the Erevin, the mushrooms are not mechuba the karka, me avira rabbi. What bracha do you say when you eat mushrooms? Shahakol nigmar, you don't say bar pi adam because it doesn't really grow from the ground. Me avira rabbi. What is it? What's it doing in Erevin daf chav ches? It's a strange gemar. The gemar says when you make an Ereve tchumen or a shetufim, an Ereve chatzer has to be pas. Eim avin ala bepas. But if you make an Ereve tchumen, to be allowed to go chutz l'tchum, or you make a shetufim avuas, then the Mishnah says in the third parak in Erevin, bakol miyarvin. You can use any kind of food you want. It doesn't have to be flesh. It can be, doesn't have to be bread. It can be fish. It can be flesh. It can be vegetables, fruits, whatever you want. The Gemara says it can be anything except for mushrooms. Peladik is not. What's wrong with mushrooms? So the Vilna Gaon crosses out the Gemara. It says the Gemara doesn't exist. The Gemara meant something else. It says v'chulei there. The Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah and it goes on something else. It doesn't go, a mushroom is not true. That's what the Bir Agor writes in Orachaim, and the Talmidei Hagro write this in the Hagdomet to the Takan Charetin, I think, that the Vilna Gaon sometimes made a Hagor, just added on one letter, on one word, and he changed the whole pshat in the Gemara. They point this out, that the Chiddush. But all the Rishonim assume not so. All the Rishonim assume, that's why Rashi is quoting from Erevin, that because the mushrooms are the Avira Karabi, it doesn't grow from the ground, so therefore it's no good for Erevei Tchumen and for Shetufim Mavus. Huh? Yeah, why is it not food? People do eat mushrooms, yeah. So if any food, any other food is good, yeah, so why shouldn't that be acceptable? Is that pella digazach? I'll call upon him, so that's a pella. Why is it not acceptable for shitufim avuas or for erevei tchumen is a deep, dark secret. It's a big problem. The Rishon worked very hard. The Vilna Gaon doesn't work out. Just crossed it out. It didn't, doesn't exist. But the Rishon have a hard time explaining what's wrong. So what does it say? Hi, man. The Torah shkus to me is maybe mechaim shemar kedav and migiduloi. It's an iser of kotzer. Hachanami here too. When you detach the uber from the mei habehema, hoshit yod la mei behema. Dil the lubshem meya. Hachanami mechaim mishum oy kedavar migidula. What do you mean? Mechaim mishum kotzer on the behema. That's what it means. The simple translation of the words of the Gemara. Mechaim mishum kotzer. What does it mean, kotzer? So some Rishonim say that it means that he killed the uber. So why isn't he chayim shum netilas neshama? Why isn't chayim shum kotzer? So they say, no. Just like if you kill an uber, a human being, you're not chayim misa. The Mishnah neither says, a tinek ben yomo, a horga neragolot. If the baby is born already, and you shoot the baby, then you chayim. That's a tinek ben yomo, he was born. But before the baby was born, if you perform an abortion, you kill an uber before it's born, then the Mishnah is clear that you're not chayiv. How do the Tanoim know that you're not chayiv? So by Bnei Noach, the din is, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Shafech dam ha'odam ba'odam, dama yishafer. So the simple translation is Shafech dam ha'odam kama, one who murders a human being, ba'odam dama yishafer, be'edim u'bedayonim. That's what the Tag Munkla says. Ba'odam means it gets Mises Bezen. Ba'odam dama yishafer, be'edim u'bedayonim. He will get the death penalty. That's the Pasha Pshat. So the Gemara says, in addition to the Pshut Hashal Mikra, there's an additional level of interpretation. Shafech dam ha'odam ba'odam. If you kill a person who's inside another person, and that refers to an uber, is dama yishafech. That by Bnei Noach, the din is, if he kills an uber, he's chayv misa. But if he still kills an uber, that's the Mishnah Nida, and that you're not chayv misa. How did the Tanoim know in the Mishnah Nida to say that? Why don't they learn up in the Pasuk, Shafech dam ha'odam? Bottom dummy shefel te rather dinim there in Parshas Noach that speak about the Ritzicha that do apply to Israel. So how did the Tanoim know that this detail din, that if you abort the fetus before it's born, that this din doesn't apply to Bnei Israel? So in the Stechemed he writes, Stechemed was a Spardish Rav who I think was born in Hebron. He lived in Eretz Israel, and then when he was an adult, he moved to Russia and he became a Rav in the community. And they had different minhagim from what he was used to, so he didn't know whether the minhagim didn't make sense. So he corresponded with all the rabbanim in Europe to try to figure out what's going on. So is it a Sephardish minhagim, Ashkenazim, Shammah? So he wrote this whole Sefer, Stechemet, with all the nine volumes. So because a lot of it is just encyclopedic, it's alphabetically arranged, a lot of it is just what he did research, and a lot of it is correspondence from other rabbanim. So he used to correspond with Rav Shlomo Vilna, who was one of the Dayanim of Vilna when they were printing the Vilna Shas. in the late 1800s. Shlomo Vilna was the younger brother of Tzal Vilna. Tzal Vilna, he was the real genius. Shlomo Vilna, he was only a plain genius. So he corresponded a lot with Rav Shlomo Vilna, corresponded with the Nitziv. They were all at the same time. Rav Shlomo Vilna wrote him an answer to this question. How did the Tanoim know that this din, if you kill an Uber, you chayv misa, that it only applies to Bnei Nerach and it doesn't apply to Yisrael? So he said, because we have a din okam lebedirabmina, if you kill somebody and you make a hezek at the same time, you don't pay for the hezek. So this is based on the pasuk in Mishpatim that says, ki nata anashim yachtum anakfu ishahara, if two people are fighting and they accidentally bumped a woman and she loses her baby, so you have to pay the mevalotis. If the woman doesn't get killed, then the one who is responsible for her losing her baby has to pay the mevalotis. What happens if the woman got killed? Then it's come lebi derabin that you don't pay. So the hakasha, why is it only come lebi derabine if the woman gets killed? It mustn't yeah. But im lo yosin, if the woman doesn't get killed, then you do pay the mevalotis. Wants to say that itself is come lebi derabine. You killed an Uber. Killed an Uber, you chayv misa. The answer is you killed b'shoigig. So you killed the woman also b'shoigig. So the answer is chayv misa shoigigim turman atashlumim. That's called Tana de Bechizki. The Gemara quotes at Bryce and Subas and Baba Kama. In different mesichtes, that not only do you apply kamla with the rabbinate, but the person actually is getting the punishment, the death penalty, even if he did the aveira, the chil shabbos, or the ritzicha b'shoigeg, and the ma'aseh, he's not going to get the death punishment. You still apply kamla with the rabbinate. So why does it only apply if masan yeah, if the woman gets killed? No, if the uber gets killed, it's always a built-in kamla with the rabbinate. So Shlomo Vilna said, you see from the parshas mishpatim that there's no kamla with the rabbinate. Must be because a hargis uber never gets the death penalty. So it's interesting that Hoychoche, the Rav Shlomo Vilna sent in his letter to the Stechemen, that's the Meiri on our daf. The Meiri says that there are those who insist that it must be Hoshid Yodel Mei Behem of a Dildil, that the Uber is alive. He just detached the Uber from the mother's body. If he kills the Uber, what do you have a whole discussion? My time on? My time is Natilis Neshama. He killed the Uber. Of course, the Haimishim Natilis Neshama. Nothing to discuss. You don't have to have a whole pilpul. So then he says, but there are others who say no. The Gemara goes that he killed the Uber. If he killed the Uber, let it be in Tilus Neshama. So he says no. Just like in Hilchas Retzeach, Ve'ein Achai Mishum Tilus Neshama. Shkol Shaloi Noelad. He's not born yet. Ein Roi Loi Mabana Tilus Neshama Kirech Siv. As it says in Parshas Mishpatim, Lo Yeh Osan. Means this whole Hechach of Rab Shlomo Levilna. So just like it's not killing an Uber, it's not called in Tilus Neshama in Hilchas Retzeach. So too, it can't be called Netilas Neshama in Hilchas Shabbos. So the only thing you can say is that it's Oikah Dovah Migiduloi, that it's Kotzer. That it's Kotzer. Yeah, what kind of Kotzer? So according to this Pshat V'nimtzah, according to these Rishonim, Shem Hika Sarisha V'hipilo, if the woman lost the pregnancy, Ein Chai Mishum Netilas Neshama on Shabbos. Just like you're not Chai Mishum Ritzicha, so too you're not Chai Mishum Netilas Neshama on Shabbos. And it's only in Isra, Vaikadov and Megidula, which means Kotzer. What exactly? What do you mean Kotzer? What does it have to do with Kotzer? Kotzer is when it's Mechuba Lekarka. So the answer is, these Rishonim hold in the Gemara, Kotzer is a lower form of Netilas Neshama. If you kill a living animal, that's a higher form of life. If you have vegetative life, that's a lower form of life. Human life is higher than behemoth life. Okay, but in Hilchas Shabbos it's irrelevant. It doesn't make a difference when you kill a person, you kill a behemoth. The same in Hilchas Lo-Sirtzach, it makes a difference. But in Hilchas Shabbos and Tilas Neshama, it's the same. So if you kill vegetative life, that's a malacha of kotzer. That's called kotzer. So the Meiri quotes a group of Rishonim who think that if you kill an Uber, since the Uber wasn't born yet, anyway, it doesn't have that din of Tilas Neshama, but it has the lower form of life. It's included in Kotzer. Kotzer means that you kill vegetative life or anything worse than that. If you kill a baby, you don't call it Kotzer and the Tilas Neshama. It belongs under the Tilas Neshama. If you kill an Uber, so since it's not Tilas Neshama, so it falls under the category of Kotzer. This is a shame. Is that really true? That's what it means. What if you have a tree that's dead? Mamish gishtop, nothing is growing. It's still attached to the ground. And then you break off a branch from the tree. So you say there's no malacha of kotzer. There's no malacha of kotzer because he didn't really kill vegetative life. That the definition of kotzer is the tilis neshama of vegetable, of vegetative life, as opposed to the tilis neshama of animal life is in tilis neshama. Shochei. Tilis neshama of vegetative life is not. So what if this branch is dead? Mamish, nothing grows on this branch, but it's still attached to the tree. So you're going to say there's no malacha of kotzer over here. The pashtus says that there is. There's a topic later. There's a thesis in a later parak about this. The Egle Tal talks about it. Exactly when is there kotzer, when is there not kotzer. Otsu Shein and Nokuv is a machloikis hatanoi. Yeah, the Gemara quotes the machloikis hatanoi, whether it's their Isa or their Rabbonon. Yeah. Yeah. Those are hold mutem at their Isa. Why is that? So the Gemara says, because. Hosam lav hainu revise, hocha hainu revise. The Gemara said, that's not the normal way to. These things, that's not normal that they should be planted in an otsit nokuv. Normal would have been, they should be planted in an otsit sheena nokuv, or planted in the ground. The Gemara says, if it's here, in the third line from the top, fourth line from the top, if it's lav hainu revise, then it's a machlekes hatanaim on tzadikei. And then some of the tanaim say that the kotzer is only the rabbonim. As told us, we don't have a sheena nokuv, but the rabbishim and poita bezeh bezeh. Oh no. What's the machlekes is by yotzitz nokuv? Oh, the machlekes by yotzitz nokuv, not by yotzitz shena nokuv. I said it over wrong. Yotzitz shena nokuv, they all agree that you're not chayim. So the Gemara said, why did they all agree? Because it's the lav hayne revista. So if it's an abnormal form of life, then it doesn't count. That's not called killing life, killing vegetative life. But the Gemara says, this is normal. The kshusa, the mushrooms that grow on the hizmi vihigi, on the thorns, so that's a normal way of growth, so that everyone will agree that it's chayim. So Nachamal, let's go again. So some Rishonim say that he killed the uber, and there's no chi of netilas neshama, it's only kotzer. Why? Because the pasuk says that an uber didn't yet reach the madrege of a yolud yet. The Gemara says in a few places that min ha-Torah, the din of chatzitze, only applies when a person is tovel in the mikveh. So the Gemara says the din of chatzitze only applies if the chatzitze covers rov ha-guf and the person is makbid olov. He's makbid that he wants to remove it. What if it only covers miut ha-guf? Usually the case, you have a little link or something. It's only covering miut ha-guf even though you're makbid. Or it covers rov ha-guf, but he ain't a makbid. He doesn't care. He's going to live with all the dirt. So it doesn't constitute a chatzitz min ha-Torah, it's only chatzitz min ha-Rabbanan. That's the Gemara. And there were goyzer min ha-Rabbanan al-ruba she'en ha-makbid, there were goyzer al-miut ha-makbid, otu ruba ha-makbid, but al-miut she'en ha-makbid, so that's already exeret, so the Gemara says they won't goyzer. So the Gemara in a few masichtas. So Rashi writes in a few places that Gemara, that it's only considered a chatzitz if it's a rubai u-makbid, is only talking about seyor. The Gemara always has this story, Rubei HaMakbid, the Rabbanon always has it following a previous statement. The previous statement always is, in every single Masechta where this din appears, the previous statement is, V'rochas Ma'amayim is called B'sora, Es HaTofel B'sora, Es is Marbe, let's say a person has very long hair. Years ago we would say if the woman has very long hair, today you can say the man has very long hair. So the guy has very long hair, he's going to mikveh before davening every day. And the hair is sticking out of the mikveh. So his body is below the surface of the water, and the hair is above the water. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk Es, Rochas Es Besara Ba'amayim, Es HaTofel LeBesara, that not only do you need tefillah in the mikveh on the guf, you need tefillah in the mikveh on the hair as well. So the Gemara says, therefore there is a din of chatzitza on the seyar also. So what are the details of the din of chatzitza on the seyar? So then the Gemara proceeds to say, min HaTorah it's only Ruba Yomakbid, and min the Rabbanon even Ruba Shein HaMakbid, Miyad HaMakbid, but Miyad Shein HaMakbid is not a Chatzitza even min the Rabbanon. But Rashi says, what if it will be a Chatzitza on the guf, on the body, so even a Miyad Shein HaMakbid constitutes a Chatzitza min HaTorah. So that's how Rashi writes in a few places. So Tosis Tainis against Rashi, they have a few kashas. So what they have basically two kashas. So one kasha they ask is from a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about a muberish and his gaira. A non-Jewish woman is pregnant and she converts. So the Gemara says the conversion, the gairis is good for her and for the uber. When the baby is born later, b'no ein tzarich tefila. When the baby is born, he doesn't require another tefila in the mikveh for himself to become a Yisrael. The gairis that the mother underwent is good for the uber also. The Gemara says why? Because when she was tefila in the mikveh, her body did not constitute a chatzitza on the baby. So the Gemara says why? Even though it's a ruboy ve'eino makbid, the baby is not makbid that the mother's body is chaytzis between his uber's body and the water. So the baby is very happy to be inside the mother. That's how he develops. Okay. So even though the din should have been perhaps that if it's a ruboy ve'eino makbid, it's not a chatzitza. But the Gemara says, but there's another rule that if it's kuloy, even though you ain't a makbid, then it is a chatzitza. And here it's kuloy. The Gemara says no part of the baby is touching the water. The whole baby is completely, the whole uber is completely inside the mother's body. So let it constitute a chatzitza. How do you say that muberish and his gairis? But no, ain't a tzarich tefila. The baby that's born later doesn't require tefila the shame gairis. It's yotze with the tefila of the mother. Aye, but the mother's body is a chatzitza and kuloy of the uber. So kuloy is no good, even though there's ain't a makbid. So the Gemara gives an answer. Hainim revisei. Since that's the normal, natural growth of the baby always has to grow inside the mother, so the mother's body doesn't constitute a chatzitza. So Tosfos says to Kasha, if Rashi would be right, that this detailed halacha of Ruba Makbid, Ruba Shele Makbid, Miyata Makbid, Mishele Makbid, the whole thing only goes on Seyor, doesn't go on the Gufa Adam. So what is the Gemara talking about? What are they wasting time? They quote Rabbi Yitzchak din akula, even though you're a makbid, is a chatzitza. But you're talking the whole baby has a chatzitza. Not only the hair of the baby, you're talking the whole baby has a chatzitza. So you see that even on the whole goof of the baby, there's no problem of chatzitza if it's rubashe eino makbid or miyuta makbid. You see that the Gemara's rules of ruba makbid go not only on the seir, goes on the goof, goes on the whole goof also. How can Rashi say it only goes on seir? So the Rishonim defend Rashi from that kasha. And they say, no, the uber who wasn't born yet doesn't have this din yet. Just like over here. The uber who wasn't born doesn't have a din of a Sirtzach yet. And the uber who's not born yet doesn't have a din of a Tivus Neshama. He only belongs to that lower form of life. Namely, Oikadov and Migidula, killing vegetative life. Kavachem, any life that's higher than vegetative life is also called Kotzer, Oikadov and Migidula. So there too, the uber is not considered as a yola. Doesn't have the din of a yola. Then Tais has another kasha from Mishnayis in Mikvos. The last parak of Mishnayis Mikvos talks about a person has a beged that's tummy. The Gemara Masechah Shabbos quotes it. So that's why Tais quotes that Mishnah from Mikvos. The Gemara talks about a beged is tummy, and you have stains on the beged, stains all over the place. So the Gemara says it, the Mishnah says it depends. Is he makbid? Is he not makbid? So the Gemara says it depends who's the owner of the beged. If he's a Talmid Chacham, a Talmid Chacham is not permitted to go with a revav al bigdoy, with stains on his garment, because it makes a chil Hashem. People who think Talmid Chachamim are slobs, and if you learn Torah, you'll become a slob. You become fat and dirty and sloppy, and that's they won't want to sign up to learn Torah. The Gemara says Talmid Chacham have to always be dressed very nicely. So if he's a Pashat the Balabas, he's a farmer. So it doesn't bother him that he has stains all over his beged. So then it's Eino Makbid. So since Eino Makbid, it's not a Chatzitza. But if he's a Talmid Chacham, then he has to be Makbid. So then it constitutes a Chatzitza. So that the Tosfos says you're not talking about Seyer, you're talking about the whole Gufa Beged. You're not talking about some fringes hanging on the bottom of the beged. You're talking about the Etzim Gufa Beged. So the Etzim Gufa Beged should be parallel to the Gufa Adam. So according to Rashi, that the laws of the Kula, of Ruba Makbid and so on, all these details only apply to Seir, doesn't apply to the Gufa Adam, so it shouldn't apply to the Gufa Beged. So that's what the Rishonim say, no. Rashi only says that by Gufa Adam is Mochomer. The Uber that wasn't born yet is not yet treated like Gufa Adam, and the Kli is also not treated like Gufa Adam. Special then only Gufa Adam. And the Gufa Adam, we're Makbid on any slight little Chatzitza. That's it says in Yeridei like that. The woman who has to go to mikveh has to remove every single slight chatzitza, even though it's a mere chain of makbid. So one of the reasons is given, v'choshish for Rashi's opinion. According to Rashi, a chatzitza on the guf of Adam You don't have any leeway. You don't have any coolness of miyu chain or makrit. Yeah, so this idea that the Miri says over here that the Uber wasn't born yet, doesn't yet have the din like a Gufa Adam, that's what the Rishonim defended Rashi over there also. The Uber wasn't born yet. The Rashba quotes other Rishonim who disagree, and they say that that's utterly ridiculous. They say that there's a malacha of kotzer. When you kill a behemoth, kotzer has to be arkedava migidula, has to be attached to the ground. So what does the Gemara say over here? Hoshit yodol mei behemoth dul delubashev meya. So some say he didn't, that's what the Miri quotes, some say he didn't kill the Uber. The Uber is still alive. If he would have killed the Uber, it would be Natilus Neshama. He didn't kill the Uber, just detached it. So detaching an Uber, you can't say that that's Natilus Neshama. So the Gemara says that's Kotzer. Or the Taisus Rit says that the Gemara didn't mean to say it's Kotzer, the Gemara meant to say that it's Gozes. So what was the whole Hashvor? If the Gemara meant to say that by that it's gozeis, what is gozeis? We once said over the Dvar Avram, if you take an animal, a person, and you chop off his hand on Shabbos, that's not gozeis. You chopped off part of the Baal Chai. Gozeis means you cut the hair, or you cut the nails, or you remove a yabelas. A person has a wart on the body, the behem has a wart. So achotech yabelas, so that's a Mishnah in the last parak in Erevin, that if a coin is a balmum because he has some kind of a growth, and then you remove it on Shabbos, so you make him roy to be makar of karbonis. So if you choytech the yabelas kelachayad, so it's mutar in the mission in the beis hamikdash. There's ain shvuz ba mikdash. Since he's doing it the shame to enable the coin to be makar of karbonis, and you did it, you bit it off instead of using a knife to do a surgery, you bit it off. So you did it kelachayad. So it's ain shvuz ba mikdash. Okay. So why is that a violation of gozes? Because this is a wart that doesn't belong there. Or fingernails are here. The person needs a haircut. So if you cut off these things, that's called gozes. But if you cut off, you break off a limb from the Baal Chai, that's not a violation of gozes. That's what the Dvar Avram commented on the Shita Mekubetzes in the first Perek in Ksubas, where they discuss what's the Moloch involved in Milo. If you do Milo Shlo Bizmani, you're not allowed to on Shabbos. What's Moloch? So we always assume that it's the dam that comes out is chavola, is oisah chabura, the dam that comes out. So the Shittim Kubetz has a different idea that it's a malocha of gozes, because you're cutting off the or ha'orla. So the Dvar Avram asked the kasha, what do you mean gozes? It's not like hair or fingernails. This is part of the etzem body itself. Why is that gozes? So he says he thinks that would be right if you would perform a circumcision on a nochri, cutting off the or ha'orla would be the same as cutting off a finger. But he says he's cutting off the orhola from a Jewish baby. The Jewish baby, the mitzvah is to remove it. So since by the Jewish people it doesn't belong, so then it's considered gozes. Then it's like removing something that's oimei to be removed. But if you do a circumcision on a nachri, he doesn't think that it would be gozes. You would have to label it as something else. So that's what the other opinions, that's what the Tosfos Rid suggests over here. The Gemara means to say, he detached the uber. He didn't kill the uber. He detached the uber, and that's a malacha of gozes. Why? Because the uber is omit to be detached from the mother. It wasn't yet. It didn't push its way out yet. Normally it pushes its way out, comes out on its own. So the veterinarian, whatever, he sticks his hand in and he detaches the uber without killing the uber. If he kills the uber, maybe it is Natilus Neshama. He didn't kill the uber. All he did was build a little bishop meyah. He detached. So detaching, that's the malacha of gozes. Because it's meant to be separated. Yeah. So then the question is, what was the hashvor? What was the comparison to tolash kshusa mehizme vehigi? Over there, yechai mishum tilos neshama. Hachanami, yechai mishum. Over there, yechai mishum oikadova megidula. If you have the mushrooms that are growing on the thorns. So that's the malacha of oikadova megidula means kotzer. Hachanami, yechai mishum oikadova megidula. But if you say over here, the oikadova megidula means that it's gozeis. Means okay. In each case, it's different. Over there, that it's a mushroom, so that's okidov migdula is koitzer. But over here, where it's an animal, and you're removing the uber from its mother. You're not killing it. You're removing it. So here, removing it is a violation of gozes. That's what the Tosfos Rid says. You look in the Ramban and the Rashba, they have a whole different explanation of the hashvo of the Gemara. They just say the Gemara meant to bring out the following idea. There is a malacha of kotzer, and kotzer means killing vegetative life. There is a malacha of Natilus Neshama, That means killing animal life, a human life. That's until that's shochet until. Question is, what if you have a living being that doesn't have its own independent chiyus? It's a parasite living off of something else. Like you have the mushrooms are growing on a thorn bush, or you have the uber is growing on the mother. So it doesn't have an independent chiyus. After the uber will be born, then it's going to be an independent chiyus. But over here, right when the uber is developing inside the mother, it's basically a parasite. It's living off of the mother's chiyus. So does that have the status of chiyus or not? So that's what the Gemara made a hashvah. Just like there's a dinner by kedava migidula by mushrooms that are growing on a thorn bush. Even though the mushroom doesn't have an independent chiyus, it's a parasite living off of the bush. And still the chiddush is Amar Rav Sheshes. Haim on the Tosh Kshusin his mevihigi is chayiv. The parasitic life is called chiyus. Ochanami here too, the uber doesn't have its own independent life. It's a parasite living off of the mother. It's also called the chiyus. It's Nitilus Neshama. Not that it's gozes, and not that it's coats there. No, it's Nitilus Neshama. What did he need the marshal for? No, the marshal was to prove that even a parasite that doesn't have independent chiyus is also called chiyus, and it's also chai mishum each case, whatever it is. By the vegetables, it'll chai mishum koitzer. And by the animals, it'll be chai mishum Nitilus Neshama. So there are four different issues, the three different possibilities of a malacha. By dil de lo b'shebe meyeho, some rishonim say that it's ntilas neshama. They're talking about killing the uber. Some say it's ntilas neshama. Some say that it's kotzer, and some say that it didn't necessarily kill it. It's gozes. It could be that it's still alive. Not so clear whether it means he killed the uber. He didn't kill the uber. That's what the rishonim have the machloek. Now on Kuf Chesam and Aleph has nothing to do with Masech HaShabbos. It's not. It's good to know the halachas. The Gemara says you can only write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah on the parchment that was made from the hide of a kosher animal. How do you know that that's so? That's on the first white line on the daf. Minayin Shein Kos and Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzah, all the same thing. Alagabi or behema tohora. How do you know it has to be from a kosher animal? You can't write the Sefer Torah on leather, on parchment from a horse, or parchment from an elephant. Only parchment from a kosher animal. Nevelus atreifus, the Gemara says, is okay, but it can't be a behema tmei. It has to be a behema tohora. So that's based on Malay. So the Gemara says that Rav came to Bovel and Karna went to test him to see if he knows how to learn. But then Rav got upset and he cursed Karna. So one of the questions that he asked, the first question he asked him is this: how do you know the din that you can only write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah on the parchment that came from a kosher animal? So he says, the pasuk says, "Leman piyata Hashem eficha kivyar chazaka tiach Hashem emitzayim." So what's the simple translation? You should wear tefillin in order that they should always bring to your attention, remind you about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The purpose of wearing tefillin is to remind us about Yitzias Mitzrayim. How exactly is going to remind us? It's all stitched together. If we would open up the tefillin every day or once in a while, we don't do that. The thing is, you don't have to check the tefillin even twice in a shemitah. The Gemara says a mezuzah, because in the summertime the walls are sweating, it's hot. In the wintertime it's freezing, so the osius may crack, or the osius may get the ruin because of the change in the atmosphere. But the tefillin, you always take care of it, unless the tefillin was soaking in water or something like that. Or if it was leaking in on top of the tefillin, then you have to check the tefillin. But if nothing happened to the tefillin, so the Gemara says, if you wear the tefillin on a regular basis, let's say I have the tefillin, I'm an enikel from the Baal Shem, and I have the Baal Shem's tefillin, and it just sits there. And once every 50 years I wear the tefillin, then you have to check the tefillin, because you don't wear it on a regular basis. And maybe it leaked in and it was soaking in water for 2 years. And 50 years later, when you wear the tefillin, you don't know. Everything already dissolved. All the parshas dissolved. How come you don't know it was soaking water? Because you only wear the tefillin once every 50 years. But the din is, if you wear the tefillin on a regular basis, it means once a month. Let's say I have two sets of tefillin. One talis of tefillin I leave in shul, and one is for traveling purposes. If I wear the tefillin, the traveling tefillin, once a month, so then that's considered wearing it on a regular basis, then you never have to check the tefillin. If you checked it once, you assume that it's the cheskes kashus the other one. But if you wear it less than once a month, then it has the same status as the mezuzah, that you got to check it twice every shmita. So the pashup shot in the pasuk is the purpose of wearing tefillin is leman tiyater Hashem eficha. You should always talk about yitzias mitzrayim. Kivyar chazaka atzeh Hashem mitzrayim. How exactly is this going to be accomplished? What do you mean? You open up the batim and you see what it says in kadesh vayokiviyacho shma vayom shemaya. It says in kadesh vayokiviyacho. It says about yitzias mitzrayim. How will that be accomplished though? But it's all sealed up. You don't open it up. You don't even open it up as much as a mezuzah. Mezuzah you open up at least twice every Shemitah. The tefillin you don't even open up at all, and even the mezuzah, a pashtus many hold that the whole bedikas ha-mezuzah is only with the rabbanon. That's the machlokes, and the chilta learns it out a drasha from a pasuk. The shamarta is a chukah zos l'moy adam yamim yamimo. So the mechilta darshins is a machlokes ha-tanayim where the shamarta is a chukah hazos chukah goes on chukas ha-pesach, a chukas ha-tefillin. That's a machlokes ha-tanayim in the last parak in Erevin, middle of Menachos. Whether miyamim yamima means yearly, you should observe the chukas ha-pesach from year to year. Or v'shamatas chukas ha-tfilin miyamim yamima daily. You should wear tefillin every day, or you should observe korban pesach once a year. So the mechilta has one tana who understands v'shamatas chukas goes on chukas ha-tfilin, and v'shamata means you should have a shmira, you should be bodik the tefillin from time to time. And it goes on mezuzah also, you should be bodik from time to time. So that's a machlokes achrayim, whether bedikas hamezuzah, bedikas hatfilin, whenever it's required, is that only midirabbanon, and the drosh is only an asmachta, as many other droshes in the mechilta are asmachtas, or should we assume no, that this is a real bona fide din derais? So that's a machlokes achrayim. So either way, what do you mean? How do you accomplish? That's the question. How do you read the pashup shat in the pasuk? That what's accomplished by the tefillin and the mezuzah is, we will always remember what it says in the parsha of the tefillin. It says about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why, if there would have been a real requirement, a halachic requirement to recite Kadesh Oya Kiviach every day, okay? But then in conjunction with the tefillin, you recite Kadesh Oya Kiviach. So when you recite it, L'man Tiyater Hashem Eficha. But that's only a minute. That's not a real din. It's not a real din. So how do you, what does the pasuk mean? I mean, we're supposed to know what it says in the tefillin. Even though we don't read it, and even though we don't have to recite it min haTorah, it's only a minog that we recite Kadesh Yekiviyacho, but we're supposed to know that in the parshas of the tefillin it speaks about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So our putting on tefillin every day is supposed to remind us. Let's say you get a bal tshuva, you get a guy, you convince a guy that he should wear tefillin, so you're supposed to tell him what it's all about. You have to tell him that in the tefillin it says that we believe in one God, in monotheism, and we don't worship Avodah Zarah and Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs and Yitzias Mitzrayim. You've got to tell them that's one of the ideas behind wearing the tefillin, to remind us constantly of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Man Tiyotas Hashem Efichah, we should always talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's somehow the pashup shot in the pasuk. Then the additional level of interpretation that Rav is telling over to Karnon, that's what the Braisa says. The Gemara says later on, it's a Braisa that says like that. That's the Tanoim, comes from the Tanoim. The man tiyatars Hashem beficha min amuta beficha, that you can only write tefillin on parchment that comes from a kosher animal. If the parchment comes from a non-kosher animal, then you're not allowed to use it. That's clearly not the pshut shel mikra. That's an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. And the Gemara says in Bama Madlikin early on daf chav chesam beis that this pasuk only applies to the klaf on which you write the parshios, because it has taras Hashem. Or the Gemara says to the bayis shal rosh, because it has the shin on it. So that's also called divrei Torah. One letter of Torah, the shin, or we have a meaning, we have two shins. One on the right side, one on the left side. So the two letters shin constitute divrei Torah. If a person can learn more than a letter, he's not yet to Talmud Torah by just reading halakhah. But if that's all the person is up to, so reading one letter shin is also called Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says, from this pasuk, Teres Hashem Eficho, we know only that the parshios of Sefer Tefillin and Mezuzah and the Bayis Shel Rosh, which has the Shin on it, have to be from Or Behemoth Torah, because Teres Hashem has to be min amuta beficho. But let's say, what about Nichroches the Siren bin Tfaras Begidon? That when you have the parsha rolled up and then you tie it around with hair that comes from an animal. So I didn't know that the hair has to come from a kosher animal. The Braisa says, "Nechroches b'sairon v'netfores b'gidon." When you sew the tefillin together, the top and the bottom, you have the 12 stitches, three on each side, you have the 12 stitches. So that stitching cannot be done with any thread. It has to be done dafka with gidei behema tahora. You're not allowed to use gidei behema tmeya. So how that's learned that from this pasuk? This pasuk only goes on divrei Torah. So the Gemara says on dafka ches, no, that's known through halacha l'moshe misina gemiri to the huchshu l'malach shamayim alar behema tahora b'levad. The Gemara says we have a tradition halacha l'moshe misina. The Gemara says what do you need a halacha l'moshe misina? Isn't the pasuk manti ater sasha b'fichah? The Gemara says no. The pasuk Chumash only goes on Torah Hashem, and you have the Divrei Torah, means the parchment on which you write the parshios of Sefer Torah Tefillah and Mezuzah, or the Bayish al Rosh, which is going to have the letters Shin on it. So the letter Shin is at least one letter, two letters of Divrei Torah. But the Ritzuas on the Netzvaras Begidon, on the Nechrochas Besairon, which has you're not writing any Divrei Torah on that. That's part of the Tefillah. The Tefillah are not kosher without the Tefira Begidon. But that's a Malach HaShemayim, but it's not Divrei Torah. So for that, you have to have the Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So this is learned out from the Psukim. So it's interesting, the Gemara says that Nevelus Etrefa doesn't bother me only if it's a Behemah Tmeya. Why does it bother me if it's a Behemah Tmeya? The aura of a Behemah Tmeya is Mutter, Menat Torah. And the Seyar of a Behemah Tmeya is probably even Mutter Medir Rabban. If you give a haircut to a behemoth tmeya, you're not allowed to eat the hair. What's wrong? Only besar behemoth tmeya is also. The seir is muta, and the gittin, we pass an aim begidin benayis and tam. It doesn't only go, most of the achranim hold aim begidin benayis and tam, doesn't only go on gidan osh, it goes on all gidin in the animal. All gidin don't have nesin and tam. It's not called oichel, and it's not called basar. So there is no isa deraisa if you're going to eat the gidim or the seir or the or. Of a behemoth tmeya. So what's the problem over here? It is muta b'ficha. So the answer is, it's not a function of whether it's kosher or non-kosher. But right, if it's nevelus etrefus, the animal is non-kosher, and you can still use the hide to write parshios of tefillin and mezuzah. It's not an issue, is it kosher or not kosher? Is it part of a non-kosher animal? So the gidim with the seor, with the or, bottom line, they're muta b'achila, but they're part of a non-kosher animal. Non-kosher animal, that's the pasuk. You're not permitted to use a non-kosher animal for Divrei Torah. That's why Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. There was quite a while that they were using some kind of an excretion that came out from a bug to paint the tefillin black, that they should be shiny. So this was a shaila, is that permissible to be used or not? You have to use something to make it black, and you want to make it hit the mitzvahs, you want to have it shiny. So does that pose a problem? So the Nodi Behuda has a tshuva about this. They did it in an expensive way. They used to take the elephant has horns. Tusks. So they used to take that and grind it up. Expensive stuff, and they used to make it into powder, and it's shiny. So they used to mix it into the black dye that they would paint on the tefillin. So they would take the and this would make the paint shiny. So the Nadi Behuda has a chum about that. Is that a problem or not? What's the shaila? Is that a problem? So he discusses. Maybe I should say chazusa lav nilsehi. The Gemara has a discussion when you dye a garment. So before you put in the dye, it was colorless. When you put in the dye, now it has this color. So do you say, Chazusa Milsahi, I have a jacket and it has dye. But you say, no, the dye is all absorbed in the jacket and it's Kemisheno. It's not considered like a separate entity. It's considered that it doesn't exist separately. So the Mai Nafkemina, the Gemara has a funny Nafkemina. The Gemara has a monkey came, one the end of Baba Kama, a monkey came. And he took my paint, and the monkey painted your house with my paint. Here, so all the green wall makes it pretty, makes it more valuable. The yeshiva was going to pay some human being to paint it green. So the monkey heard about this. Monkey wants to do the shem shemayim, wants to save the yeshiva money. So the monkey had rois hachacham. He took my container of paint and he paints the wall. So can I come? And the paint is dry on the wall. So can I come to the yeshiva and say, Mamoni gabach? You didn't. I can't say you stole my paint. It's not your monkey. You didn't steal the paint. But I can say your property is now enhanced in value because of my green paint. I'm missing a can of paint, $20 worth of paint, and your property is worth more because of the fact that my paint is there. So the Gemara has a suffix. They say, Chazusa Milsehi, Yeshiva has a building and it has paint. Where did the paint come from? From me. So they have Mamoni Gabach, so I can ask them to reimburse me. But they say, no, Chazusa La Milsehi. The paint is absorbed or whatever, so it doesn't exist as a separate entity. And it's not considered that my mammon went down the drain. That's all. My mammon, my paint disappeared, but you can't really say that the yeshiva now has my mammon. So they have to pay mashenenis or not. So they have to pay mashenenis. Usually there is a din in the Gemara, Mishnah, and Hakoinis. Let's say, Shem Beregel B'shus Harab is not Chayv. Kerem B'shus Harab is Chayv. Shem Beregel is not Chayv. Yeah, but let's say I left a bushel of food in the Rishus HaRabim, and your behemoth eats my bushel of food, and now you save $2 for supper. You would have to pay. The bushel of food that the behemoth ate was worth $100. But your behemoth, you would have given a $2 supper to your behemoth. Now that he ate my $100 worth of ice cream, so you don't have to spend the $2 for the supper. So can I at least charge you $2? And Mishnah says yes. If you have Shem Beregel B'shus HaRabim, it's not Chayv B'Torah Shem Beregel. But it's Chai B'Torah's Mamoni Gabach. You have to pay me $2 because your behemoth is now, you saved yourself spending the $2. So there is a din Mamoni Gabach. The Tzoyz quotes from the Tshuvas HaRashba, and that Mishnah that you pay Mashenen is you only pay Beninus. You don't pay Meitav. You pay Meitav. All the others in the Zikin, Kulm Kavish, and Shalomim Meitav. All the others in the Zikin pay Meitav. But Mamoni Gabach is just like a Halvoah. I lost $100, and part of the $100 went into your pocket. Why? Because your behemoth ate all of it, so you saved $2 on supper. So I have a right to ask you to reimburse me $2. So that's if the food is in your behemoth's belly, so I can say Mamoni Gabach. But if the paint is now on the wall, or the monkey took your sweater, which had no color to it at all, and it dipped it in my dye, and then the dye dries, so do you say Chazusa, the color is milsi, it's considered as if a separate entity, like the food inside your behemoth's belly. You have to pay because mamoni gaboch. But he say Chazusa la milsi, there is no mamoni gaboch. So that's how the Gemara starts off. Then the Gemara goes into the area of Issa v'Heter. Not only a shaila what the Chazusa milsi, but they get to Dini Mammon is, where they can tie the mamoni gaboch. The Gemara talks, what about an Issa v'Heter? You have dye from an made from pears that are from an orla tree. Somebody plants a tree, so the pears that grow the first 3 years are asa banor. Shalda shana marelim yelachem lo yeyochel. The Gemara says that it's also not only b'achil, it's asa banor. Chumash only says lo yeyochel, but we darshan from the psukim it's asa banor. So what's considered a nisa hanor? So if I take the pears and I sell it to someone else, that's a violation of istir hanor. I feed it to someone else. A goy, I feed it to a Jewish listener, but this is the mishla. I feed it to a goy, and the goy is going to be marketed to me. I give it to the super. The goy is a super. He's going to be marketed to me. He's going to do work for me because of the fact that I gave him all of this. That's called getting hano. So what if I have this sweater, and the same intelligent monkey took this sweater which had no color, and he dips it in the dye, and then it dries off, and now the sweater looks beautiful. The jacket looks beautiful because of the color that it absorbed. So is that considered getting Hanoah from the Orla or not? So the Gemara says that should depend on this Chakira, whether Chazusa Milsi or Chazusa La Milsi. The Gemara says, well, what can you do over there? It's a Pasuk. The Gemara learns that from, it says the word Arelim three times. Baralt Malos Arelim Yelachem. So one goes on Shaloyit Sababo. So that's for sure also. But the Gemara says, what about other cases? Would you say Chazusa Milsi or not? So it's an ibaidol of shita nigmar. So the Nari Yehuda discusses it when they get to grinding up the tusk of the elephant. You grind it up, you make it into powder, then you mix it into the black paint that you paint on top of the tefillin. So do you say chazusa milsihi? So it's a violation of using behemoth, something from a behemoth meh, like using or behemoth meh. The or is kosher, and the gidim are kosher, and the seir is kosher. So the karnaim are also kosher. Here you're grinding up the karnaim. The karnaim are also kosher. Same as the others. So these, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to use. This is mamish b'yen. But over here, this is only for the chazusa, for the mare. So that's the discussion that the Nadiv Yehuda has. That's where he has the famous discussion, what's the story with tchelos? Tchelos comes from the chalazon. And the big dekuna had the tchelos, and the mishkan had tchelos in it. So the shaila is, do we have to assume the chalazon is a kosher animal or not necessarily? So he says if you hold chazusa milsahi, and the tchelas kala comes from the chalazon, so luchari, you have to assume the chalazon must be a kosher sea animal. Because if it's not kosher, it should be a violation of din din that you're not allowed to use from a behemoth to mayo. Unless you say again, chazusa la milsahi. Okay, so that's where he starts this whole discussion. He discusses it when the Radzina Rebbe announced that he found the chalazon and he was manufacturing tchelas. So the fish that he was using was a non-kosher fish. He had to write a whole tshuva based on the Nodi Yehuda to explain why it's okay. Nodi Yehuda-san also has a whole arichas on this. That even if it's a non-kosher, even if one should assume the chalazon is non-kosher, there's no violation of l'huch shul l'malach shamayim or l'beim atar mevad when you get to dying because chazus olam milchte. Okay, that's the pilkul that they have. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a discussion about the shellac, they call it in English, that's an excretion of some kind of beetle or something. The pashtus is hayotze min hatame is tame. If you have milk or you have meraglim, anything, or the dam, anything that's manufactured inside an organism of a non-kosher animal is also bachila. Learn that from the pasuk basayano. The basayano is also the Gemara asks in Eilat Treifas. What do you mean? What is a basayano? And a male of a yana is kosher. Only a female of a yana is also. So the Gemara says no. Basayano refers to beitza soif tome. So we assume that beitza soif tome is yotzimen osur. Yotzimen atome tome. That's how the Mishnah calls it in the first paragraph of Chorus. Yotzimen atome means a behemoth tome. Yotzimen atome tome. And the same thing, milk. And the same thing, anything. Meraglim, anything that's manufactured. So let's say this this shellac that's an excretion that comes out from the beetle, so the beetle is a treif. So anything that they give out should also be a yetzim and a tummy should be tummy. So Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses two topics. One topic he discusses is whether you can use this shellac in food products. Because there are candies where they mix in, they use the shellac to give it a shine on the outside, that it should look shiny, so the children should, the adults, so the children should enjoy their candy better. So that's one shayla, you're eating it, mamish, you're eating the shellac. And the other shayla is, afilin tim tzeloima, that you're not going to eat it, maybe it's also bachir, you're not allowed to eat it, but maybe it's still permissible to use it when you're painting the tefillin, that the tefillin should shine. Use the shellac, that it should, the same reason why they use this shellac to make the candies shiny on the outside, that it looks prettier, it's more appetizing. So the same is true regarding the tefillin. The tefillin look prettier if it's black with a shine, as opposed to black without a shine. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva where halacha l'maaseh, he says that this shellac is mutar b'achila. There are many kashrus organizations where they rely on Rav Moshe's kula. He says that this shellac, when it's given out from the beetles, when it's given out by the sheretz, is not roi l'achila. It's not roi l'achila. So you can't have an isa macholas asuris if the thing is not roi l'achila. And then he has another suggestion. This is interesting. He says when you eat food, let's say you eat food that's not roi l'achila. So let's say a behemoth would eat it. A human being will never eat it. It tastes awful. But if a person will eat it, even though it tastes awful, but it'll be absorbed into his, it'll be broken down, the enzymes in the stomach will break it down, and it'll go into the blood system, and it'll be absorbed into the body. It'll be, digested. It'll be digested. So someone told Rav Moshe Feinstein, it doesn't say who, someone told Rav Moshe that this shellac that comes from these beetles is simply not digested in the system. The enzymes in the stomach don't break it down, and it doesn't go into the blood system. It goes out the other end like it came in the first place. It just makes the food look prettier. So Rav Moshe says another tzad that maybe since it's mamish, not digested, it's like swallowing stones. Let's say there will be a treifa stone. The Gemara has an expression, tizor geben lachem is domi. The Gemara has such an expression. The Rashbam has in Bava Basra. If you eat macholas asuris, korcha besiv, you have some chaza, and you wrap it around with plastic, let's say. And the plastic is not roi lachila. And you swallow this, so the Gemara says that's not called lachila. That's not called lachila. So some Rishonim say that because he ate it shalok derech achilos, and that's not normal. And other Rishonim say the Rashbam on Arvei Pesachim, I think, writes Rashbam and Iran. One of them writes he ate it shalok derech achilos, and the other Rishonim say no, it's like zorek even lechemizom. It's bichlal not called achila, since the outer thing is not roi l'achila. So even the inner thing, which is roi l'achila, the whole thing is not called achila. It's like swallowing stones. It goes in one end, goes out the other end. So here, Moshe had a chiddush that since this shellac doesn't get digested at all into the system, so even if it would be tasty, even if human beings would enjoy eating it, if he said he thinks that it's not roi lachila. He said they tested it out and people did not enjoy eating it. But afilam tim flamin, that would have been roi lachila. He has another thought to say that whatever is never digested, how can it be labeled as food? So this is Rav Moshe's tshuva. He has two different tshuvas. One tshuva about including this resinous glaze, it's called, including this shellac in food items that people swallow. So Rav Moshe's make a leave it on that. And he has another tshuva, afilam tim flamin, that it's also b'achila. Afilam tim flamin, that it's also b'achila. Maybe it can still be used for the tefillin. Yeah, so what's the tzad to say that it should be good for the tefillin? So one side is to say that chazus alav milsehi. That's what the Nari Bihuda about the grinding up the kanaim of the pill and using it for painting the tefillin. That topic of chazus alav milsehi. But then there's another topic because you see from the Gemara that this prohibition that you're not allowed to use from the tefillin the or and the seor. And the Gidim, the Or saying the Gidim of the Behem Tmer are all kosher. It's not Roy Lachila Bechlal. So the Halacha says it doesn't matter, even though it's Muta Bachila, but since it's part of a non kosher animal, that's the Halacha. You're not allowed to use from a Behem Tmer. So what if you have something that's not kosher? It's also Bachila, but it's not part of the Behem Tmer. Let's say over here, this is not part of the beetle itself. This is a Yotze Min Asa. So even if a Yotze Min Asa is also Bachila, but it's not. It's loygar from the velus and treves are also asa bachila. The Gemara says if it's a kosher animal in the velus treves, that doesn't bother me. The only time it's no good is if it's part of an animal, which is a min tome. So over here, this is basically not part of the beetle itself. This is a yotze min asa. A yotze min asa, the worst it can be is going to be that it's asa bachila. But you can't really say that it's an integral part. It's an essential part of the balchai. That's asa bachila. Even if it were asa b'achila, he can still say that it's permissible to use it for tefillin and mezuzahs. There's a Pesachei Tshuva quotes in Yerideya. Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Hilchas Sefer Torah, quotes a Tshuva Sefer Yad Aliyo, who discusses this shaila. He says, what if you have, we have a behemoth today, that's a min tome, elephant, the child of elephants, all the way back to a big yichus, all the way back to Sheis Mei Breshis, elephants. Then an abnormal development occurs. The mother elephant gives birth to a cow. Has malager mafis paris, so it looks exactly like a behemoth. So the Mishnah says that it's also bachim. So the Yad Eliyahu is not sure what's the nature of the din. Do I say that since the real yichus all the way back is it's an elephant from an elephant from an elephant, it's really an elephant. So since it's an elephant, the malager mafis paris doesn't help. Basically, it's a behemoth meya. Or should I say no? It has its own simoni tahara. It has malagim af his parsa. Basically, it's a behemah tahara. But what can you do? It's a yotzim in ha'asar is asa. Since the mother was an elephant, just like the milk from an elephant is asa, just like if an elephant were to lay eggs, the beitzas behemah tameya, beitzas seif tami is asa. So to over here, the vlad that's born is also a yotzim in ha'asar is asa. The mainaf kimina, whether it's an isa yotzi or it's an isa min tami. So the Rambam's opinion is that a yotze min asa there's no malchus. There's only an isa toisu shita. The Rav Chaim points out a machlokes toisu in the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, there's no malchus on a yotze min asa. That's a shaila would be if you shech this cow that was born from the elephants all the way back to Sheis Mei Breshis the elephant. If you shech the cow and you eat it, do you say it's an isa yotze min asa? It's an isa essay. There's no malchus. So they say no. It's a behemoth tameya. The shita doesn't help. You're reading the Vela and you're reading the Behemet Tmeo. So that will be one Nachkimin. So one place the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchas Shechita quotes that discussion of the Yad Aliyo. Then in Hilchas Sefer Torah, he has this other Nachkimin. Can you use the hide of that cow that was born from the elephant, 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 all the way back to the Yisimei Breshis elephant? Can you use the hide to write a Sefer Torah? If it's only Yotze Min Ha'asa, then you may use the hide to make parchment. Because it's not a Behemet Tmeo. It's a behemoth Torah that's also bachila because of Yotze Min Asa. But if it's mamish a min tamei, so then you cannot use the hide of a min tamei to write Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this Yad Eliyahu without any machlokes. He doesn't even quote anyone who disagrees. He holds it into a double pashut that Yotze Min Ha'asa is also bachila, fine, also bachila, But it doesn't. It's legor from the velus of treifus. That doesn't pose a problem as far as writing sefer Torah tefillin is. The problem only is if you're writing on something that's part of the beim tamei itself. But on a yotzim and asa there is no problem. Okay, we got to stop. Now, where are we going after this? We didn't finish yet. I'd like to discuss a little more. Where are we going to go after we finish till the bottom line? Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay. Good. No Tachton today. Erev Chanukah.